and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. All right, here we go. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, of course. Good morning, San Francisco. Going to be there soon, Mark Riley.
Really?
I'm going to be in San Francisco October 29th and 30th at Cobbs Comedy Club as part of the Stand Up For Your Rights Part 2. Will Durst, Will Durst, Kevin Rooney, myself, and many others, as they say.
Hey, wait a minute. You know you get an extra hour that night.
Oh, God.
That's the night the time changes.
You know, I don't even know. Does time mean anything to you anymore? Let's be honest.
Jet-lagged.
I was in Los Angeles, dude, for 2 days. I flew out to visit my wife. I flew home for 2 meals and, you know, one night's sleep. I went to my house. I saw my new patio down this suite, assemblage.
They did a good job.
Yeah, it's all pretty cool. I live out in the rural part of the hills of Highland Park, you know, which is very exciting. It was a nice time. Was too short. Saw my wife. I visited, as I like to call it now, Casa de la Aunt. the aunt house.
You mean it's that they're not done yet, huh?
No, they're not done yet, and I tried to be cool about it. We didn't fight about it once.
That's good.
Apparently there's no way to stop them. But so I lived at peace with the aunts out in Los Angeles.
Make love, not war.
Yeah, and I saw my cat that likes me, and the new cat that my wife brought in, the kitten that she has, who likes me without even asking. Just likes me. And I come home to my little rat cats, my mean little cats. And I, you know, despite what one of our emails might have said, and I'm not going to, you know what, I'm detaching from all of it, you know, but I am a cat person to a certain degree, but after a certain point, man, I had to name one of these cats Meanie. That's its name.
Meanie?
Yeah, it's going to be Meanie from here on out. I got Monkey, Meanie, LaFonda, and the unnamed black and white one. But apparently I'm on the cutting edge because I just read the New York Times piece in the city section about the feral cat a trend.
Oh, wow. How many million of them are there?
There's a couple hundred thousand in the New York area, and it's a very real bad problem. But they were sort of applauding the work of some of these animal rescuers, like the woman who helped me out, this woman Raquel. Though she wasn't in the piece, she should have. She sacrificed her entire life, and she's, you know, strapped financially because of the commitment she's put into cats.
You have to get a couple of them neutered, right?
I got to get them all done. I think the easiest way, since three out of the four are male or women, should I say female?
Female, yes.
What kind of slip is that? They're female, so I guess if I get the one male fixed, you know, that'll buy me some time. I just don't know when they're going into heat and when they're not. Usually you can tell, but I've been away for 2 days, so I can't tell if they were peeing everywhere because they were mad I was gone. You know,
are they growing?
Yeah, they're growing.
You've had them for a while now.
It's been like a month.
Yeah, at least. So, I mean, they're not probably the little feral fuzzballs they were when you first got them.
No, now they're like medium-sized cat feral nightmares.
But you know what?
What?
You got to train them to be mousers, man. You'll never have a mouse problem as long as you have a cat.
I need to figure out what to do with these two cats. I'm keeping two of them. I got to figure out what to do with the two gray ones. I don't think they're good for kids. They'd be great mousers if someone's got a store or a basement and they need a mouser. I'm sure these will be good cats. Or else if I could find somebody who lives outside and who lives outside of the city and wants to have an outdoor cat, they'd be good for them. Yeah. But moving on, you know, I'm tired of the speculation in terms of the debates on whether or not George Bush was wired with an earpiece. But now the real question is, was he wired with, you know, in the old school way, like wired, amped, jacked up on the yayo? Dude, I mean, I have not heard any speculation along these lines. And all I can say is that maybe many bloggers or people who are politically astute or conspiracy theorists don't know some of the symptoms of cocaine abuse. Or cocaine.
Or just use.
Or the use.
That level, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they shot the dude up with, but I was watching those debates Friday night, and I was very sensitive to the fact that his jaw was working. Like, not talking. I mean, when he was in moments of downtime, you know that weird thing when coke people, it goes back and forth on the bottom?
And
like, sliding around?
Like, you can't stop it.
Yeah. It was sort of like it was happening during breaks. I'd watch him. His eyes were bugged, and he definitely was shot up with something. I don't know what. He was definitely, you know, filled up with the facts of his pitch. you know, whatever, you know, though they're not facts, you know, but he was filled up with his pitch, but he was jammed, man. He was jammed. And I don't, you know, I would like someone to look that footage over again. Instead of looking for the crease in the jacket on the back of his coat.
Or the lump.
Or the lump for the transmitter or whatever it is. I mean, look at his eyes and look at his jaw. I mean, there were at least six or seven times when he was sitting there where his jaw was involuntarily working back and forth, which as an ex-coke user myself is only a sign of one thing. It's either amphetamines or cocaine use or some derivative thereof. Our president was shot up with dope before he went on to debate John Kerry.
Allegedly.
Without a doubt in my mind.
I mean, now, let me tell you something.
As allegedly as the picture of the wire thing is, right, they'll sit there and speculate over that one picture with that one crease in the back of his jacket, and you can look at that debate, and there's no less than seven or eight times where his jaw was involuntarily working and grinding like a cokehead.
Well, maybe he was listening to the voice in his head from the wire, and he was repeating what the wire was telling him.
He couldn't have done it that quickly. I don't buy this whole wire thing. That would be too big of a risk, and I don't care how, you know, advanced the technology is or whatever. Clearly, his performance on the first debate was lackluster, you know, to say the least. It sucked. And if he was wearing a wire, then it wasn't working.
No, it definitely wasn't working.
And he was talking too fast. He was talking cocaine babble. I mean, the dude was like, he couldn't sit still. His foot was working. The dude was shot up with something. I don't care. There is a presidential Oval Office Dr. Nick in there, and he's doing the business. I don't know if they told him it was vitamins. I don't know if Uncle Dick said, look, it's going to be good for everyone if you just do this. I don't know what kind of deal they made with that cat, but he was shot up with something other than B12.
Well, you know what? I didn't watch the first part of the debate. I was driving home. I heard the first part of it. And I'm riding through the back streets of the Bronx on my way across the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to it. I said, gee, he sounds kind of shrill to start with. And, you know, I figured, well, okay, maybe this is his compensation for really blowing the first debate. He wants to sound, I guess maybe this is his version of authoritative or something. Then I get home and I actually start watching him. And you're right, he couldn't stop moving. I mean, either body parts or his actual physical frame, he was getting up, he was walking around, to me, like a caged animal almost, as if...
Like he was on blow.
Well, okay, all right. That's your speculation, man. I can't say for certain. After all, I've only read about these things.
Okay. All right. I'll let you off the hook.
Thanks, Lo. I appreciate it.
And I'll speculate. But I know, you know, I've got footage of me on blow doing stand-up. First of all, not funny. Right? Second... Second of all, talking way too fast. No timing. Mm-hmm. All right? Third of all... Pacing like a caged animal.
Oh,
right. Working the foot.
You got that.
Working the foot. I mean, I'll work the foot on too much caffeine, but my jaw won't crack. And I'm not going to crank my jaw around in that involuntary weird. People do two different things.
You think
he
grinds his teeth? You think, like, if somebody x-rayed his lower teeth, they'd find that whole part of the top part shaved off?
I don't know. All I know is maybe. But I mean, I'm not saying that the guy's on coke. I'm not saying he's actively doing it. All I'm saying is that there's an argument to be had, and I'm reaching out to people who are familiar with drug addiction, with symptoms of drug use, okay, well, drug professionals, whatever that may be, all right, that I know, I've known a couple of guys in my life. I've not been a jaw worker, mm-hmm. you know, when I used to do blow, all right, but I had friends I hung out with. You'd give them two lines of coke, and that jaw would just start going. My buddy of mine from San Francisco, two lines of coke, bam, that jaw's going back and forth like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a symptom. Of being on something.
It's an involuntary reaction. You know, there may well have been a lot of people across the country who have some familiarity with what you're discussing, who looked and saw exactly the same thing you saw, who saw that lower jaw muscle, who saw the foot that wouldn't stop.
The bug eyes.
Says, yo, man, this guy's on.
And some people were saying that he was passionate. He wasn't passionate. He was way
he
over
was
the
shrill.
Top.
He wasn't. That wasn't passion.
He was shrill. He was defensive. He was trying to prove something. You know, he was doing this weird sort of selfish performance. You know, it was beautiful when Kerry said, you know, no labels. Labels don't matter. I thought that was great. Just sort of
disemboweling.
Yeah, you know, disconnect that whole sort of accusation of liberal use as some sort of slang derogatory term. It's got nothing to do with nothing. I thought Kerry showed up real well for that whole thing.
He showed up well. There was one slip that people seemed to be focusing on, and that was abortion. that he didn't.
Well, I agree. Got a little convoluted there. Should have said, look, I'm pro-choice, and, you know, where taxpayers' money goes is a complicated thing, and you can't determine, like, you know, like, that's a dumb question.
Yeah.
You know, are any of my dollars, my tax dollars, going to fund abortions? No, right now, they're going to killing Iraqi children who are, you know, from anywhere from...
What, about 15,000 of them?
From 1 to 20 years old. You know, but it, that kind of question is retarded.
Well, you know, it's funny about the whole question of, you know, where I spend my tax dollars, because this is something that the right uses as a bludgeon all the time. They use it, whether it's the National Endowment for the Arts, whether it's, you know, for stem cell research, whether it's for abortion, because remember, Bush is now saying the federal government's money should not be spent for women to get abortions. There is that whole, you know, this is my money, not your money. Even though you pay taxes, it's my money, and this is how I want to see it spent, and you shouldn't spend it. This is the same thing they did to attack the public broadcasting system, by the way.
Yeah,
same, thing. It's taxpayer dollars shouldn't be spent.
But, like, one individual person trying to demand, you know, how their money is being spent, it's so futile. It's ridiculous. It's a stupid question. If they were that concerned about how their money was spent, they should do some more research and really see how it is spent, not just saying, like, are you going to spend our tax dollars on this? It's how I don't even know how that money is allocated. Do you?
What you mean general revenue?
Yeah, I mean, where do they say where all this tax money is going to go? How does it?
Well, see, there are a lot of different people, including our representatives in Congress, even though they do a sloppy job. They're the ones that end up determining where it goes. And
right
in theory,
the pockets of their buddies,
exactly, into the dollars of their friends. Before we break, we ought to say rest in peace to Christopher Reeve, who passed away. For those of you who are just waking up, may not know this. Christopher Reeve died at the age of 52 yesterday. Big advocate for both spinal cord research after his accident in 95 when he fell off the horse, and also stem cell research.
Yeah.
Was referenced, in fact, by Senator Kerry, I believe, not that long ago. And for those of you who've been living under a rock for the last 25 years or so, Christopher Reeve was Superman, brought that role to the big screen back in the late 1970s.
I don't know. Let's keep an eye on Michael J. Fox. This sounds suspect to me. In a minute. No, I'm sad. It's sad Superman died. But you know,
yeah, I know.
Advocate
I know.
For stem cell research at the political time. I mean, if we're going to be conspiracy theorists. Hey, last week in the Florida Democratic Party filed a lawsuit against the Florida Elections Board for rejecting thousands of voter registration forms. After the break, we're going to talk to Barbara Arnwine, Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under Law, about the whole Florida voting mess that we're anticipating. So we'll talk to you in a second here on Air America Radio.
Are you sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood? If you're down a pound, great day, but watch out if you're up a pound or two or your clothes are a bit tighter. That is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle by calling 800-921-BURN. You know CortiSlim people. You run into those CortiSlim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going shopping for new clothes. Well, CortiSlim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues are related to stress and hormones. CortiSlim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. If you're ready, step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle. Call now and get $20 off when you purchase 2 bottles of CortiSlim. $20 off 2 bottles. That's huge. Call 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 130 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo, all for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required monthly $9.99 subscription and hardware sold separately. Hardware price may vary by retailer. Activation fee applies.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Rolling Stone and college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's even the Chiefs. Sports at the Gate, the Score TV, the Music Box, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots. Matt Selection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank the Factor, Traffic Savage, Hazard Pryor, Randy Rhoads, and every other comedy and all the stars.
Are you spending more and more time protecting your home? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Bad stuff is invading our homes at warp speed. Pornographic emails, sleazy magazines, and trashy reality TV shows. And my wife and I are spending a lot of time guarding our children's hearts and minds from it. How? First, we do our best not to do things we don't want our kids doing. Second, we educate our children on what they can and cannot watch, read, and listen to, and why. Third, we constantly teach our children to learn to discern what is right and wrong, good and bad, in everything that reaches their eyes and ears. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hey, America. My name is Amir. I'm a truck driver. I was born and raised in the Middle East. We're not all terrorists. Now I am a proud citizen of the United States of America. This country has done a lot for me. Do not take America for granted. So I try to return the favor to my favorite country by volunteering whenever I can, performing jury duty whenever I am called on, and most importantly, make sure I vote every chance I get. Get out and vote. May God bless America. Thank you.
My name's Daryl from Blackfoot, Idaho, and I feel that Americans that do not vote should have their rights to free speech stripped away.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Go to morningsedition.com if you want information on how to register to vote. You've got a little time left in certain states. I'll read that off in a minute. Also, you can buy merchandise there. Also, you can listen on morningsedition.com after you get to work if you're in your car. Many things you can do there. You can buy underpants, hats. There's so many things that you can go to Pashman's Picks. You can look at my schedule. You can look at Riley's bio. You can see a little cartoon of me and Riley.
Where?
You can enjoy some pictures taken by our lovely board op, Kalo.
Lovely board op?
Yes.
Were you sure you were in L.A. over the weekend?
Absolutely, man.
Okay.
Me and Kalo got nothing like that. I'm a big enough man to say that Chris is pretty. I have no problem with that.
And vice versa.
See that?
Okay.
Does that mean we're gay? No.
I feel like I'm in the way of something.
No,
here.
It doesn't mean we're gay if I think that, you know, Chris has nice boobs. It doesn't mean that.
See?
I'm not saying I'm gay and that he's got sort of a hot ass. I'm not saying that. That doesn't make me gay.
Okay. Right.
All right. Chris, honey. Here we go.
You're going to be jammed to hell for this.
Our guest who's been hanging on during this. It's like, what kind of radio show is this? I thought this was the intelligent show. Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Please welcome Barbara Arnwine to the show. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Sorry, we're having a moment here. So can you tell us, you know, specifically me, because my producer tried to explain it to me, what is the nature of this the lawsuit filed by the Florida Democratic Party, and what does it imply?
Well, I'm not a Dem. I'm not, you know, representing the Democratic Party. I'm
no, I know, I know.
Called,
I just
you know, election protection, which is a nonpartisan effort.
Right.
But basically, the Democrats have sued the Secretary of State of Florida again for their failure once again to accord voters the proper access to the polls. Basically, the Secretary of State has issued a draconian order telling any county registrar that they are to reject any registration that was filed by a voter who failed to check a citizenship box on the registration form, even though on the same form they did sign an attestation under penalty of criminal prosecution and fine that they were, in fact, a citizen of the United States.
All right, so they're just doing this, obviously, to put an obstacle in the path of people who want to vote.
No doubt about it.
Now,
but the bad news is that should this ruling hold, this directive from the Secretary of State, Glenda Hood, it would, in fact, disenfranchise thousands upon thousands of potential voters.
That's unbelievable. And this was also, there was an attempt in Ohio to do something with the paperweight as well.
Oh, please. That is, I tell you, everybody, this is called the Catherine Harris Award. well, you know, there's all these Secretary of State who just are going out of their way to block, you know, voters this year.
Mm.
And one is J. Kenneth Blackwell of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And what he has done is he issued two ugly orders in the last 3 weeks. One was that if any registrant turned in a registration form, but it was not on 80% paperweight stock, which, by the way, is postcard stock,
Christ.
That it was to be rejected. He went and found some old statute and was trying to use this to knock out all these, you know, hundreds of thousands of new registered voters in the state of Ohio.
Who might be printing out forms on their computers from the website.
Everyone does.
Right, of course.
Why does the federal government put the form on the shoulder website?
Unbelievable.
I mean, that's the whole purpose of the form is that you can print it out. And he's not alleging that they were illegible or that they were hard to read. He's just saying that they weren't the right stock paper. Now, all of us know what kind of paper we use daily in our offices, and he was saying that stock paper was not acceptable. Went out and found some old rule written back in the olden times when they were cranking papers, you know, through post office machines, and just was not being realistic and was purposefully seeking to block voters. Well, of course,
okay.
We threatened to file suits. We're lawyers. What else do you do?
Right. Barbara, we got to take a break real quick. We're
going
to come back in a second and talk about racial discrimination and whether Florida is better off. We're talking to Barbara Arnwine. We will be back after this on Air America Radio.
Larry King here to tell you I'm getting more from my vitamin C. I'm getting the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So do what I do and get more from your vitamin C. Take Ester C. ESTER-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look for Ester C and now new Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
Outbreak, Mortal Fear, Coma. These blockbuster books made Robin Cook the master of the medical thriller. Now, he returns with Seizure, the heart-pounding bestseller ripped from today's headlines. When a researcher develops a method to alter DNA using stem cells, one man receives treatment with terrifying results. Critics call Seizure infectious and chilling. Get your pulse racing. Read Seizure by Robin Cook, now at Berkeley Paperback.
Seriously. Baseball and radio, they were like old friends.
Yogi Berra, remembering how back in the 40s he'd listen to hear baseball greats like Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robinson on the radio.
This is Bill Stern with a cold game.
Listen, DiMaggio, did you knock this baseball from my window?
Yeah, what about it?
Will you autograph it for me, please?
Here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed 1 minute silence over Cleveland.
Now, Yogi presents his favorite baseball radio shows.
I picked up the ones that remind me of how baseball and radio teamed up.
Weekdays at noon and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Jackie wants help getting her kids' college savings started. My advice after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Jackie needs some help with college planning.
We have two kids who are under the age of four. We've got savings bonds from grandmothers and every relatives. And we've got a little bit of money, a little less than $1,000 apiece. We're planning on setting up an ESA for them.
Mm-hmm.
But should we go ahead and do that now,
yeah,
even though we don't have that much?
Yeah. You can open plenty of mutual funds for $1,000 and do $1,000 for this year in the ESA with money that's already laying there. And then when you get to baby step five, meaning you're out of debt, you have your emergency fund in place, and you've started your retirement, then you can start adding to those accounts.
Okay.
But go ahead and get them going, because those savings bonds and savings accounts aren't paying those anything for those local
loans.
And let's go ahead and move that $1,000 into a good growth stock mutual fund and qualify it as an educational savings account. I would do that today, Jackie.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
In the 2000 election, only 51% of Americans eligible to vote actually cast a ballot. 24% of Americans weren't even registered to vote at all. And until recently, I was one of them. Then a friend told me about JustVote.org, a nonprofit organization with a fast and easy way to register online. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's our democracy. Let's make it work. JustVote.org.
Big ears, flat feet, bushy hair. Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at Family Learning Programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. The classes are amazing and free. Family Learning Programs. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMLET-1 and pass down the greatest thing of all, a chance.
Before past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to the Morning Tradition on Air America. It's amazing what goes through my brain on breaks. And in just like any given moment when I hear a certain tone of voice or something, even on an ad, just the series of thoughts. Someday we'll explore it, not now. On the phone, Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Underway, nonpartisan group, Barbara Arnwine, is with us. Barbara Arnwine, I wanted to ask a bit about what a lot of people in black communities across the country are complaining about, and that is you mentioned some obstacles that are being thrown up, but there seems to be a lot of confusion about where people should vote and whether their votes will count if they, for some reason or another, vote in the wrong place. I know here in New York we've had experience after experience in elections where people who have voted in one place for years go to the polls, can't, and the poll workers can't find their name and the proper voting list, and suddenly they don't know where they're supposed to vote.
Yes, so what's really hard about this year's election is that 23 states have adopted what are called wrong precinct, no count ballots rules, which are horrible because basically they took the Help America Vote Act and passed state legislation that says that you can vote by provisional ballot if you're in the wrong precinct, but once that voter leaves and they go to count the votes, those votes are just thrown out. They're just not counted whatsoever. Now, imagine. If you are in the wrong precinct, let's say you're 2 blocks away from your correct precinct, which happens, or 10 feet away from your correct precinct, which happened in Florida, Chicago during the last election, people who went and voted but were in the wrong precinct had their votes not counted for statewide office, which should not matter what precinct you're in as long as you're a valid voter or you're voting in the same county, and it did not count for any and will not count for any presidential or Senate race, which are, you know, federal in nature and also statewide. So we believe that these laws are illegal, unconstitutional, and contrary to the intent of the Help America Vote Act. And, of course, there are suits all over the country right now against several states for these crazy rules, including, no doubt about it, and very suspectly, all states with very high minority populations and states that are very interestingly what you would call battleground states, including Missouri, Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, Florida. All of these states have adopted what we call these terribly wrong precinct, no count ballot rules.
So what are the chances of there being several Floridas after this election day?
Well, I think there's what's going to happen is that unless the courts throw out these wrong precinct rules, unless they throw out some of these draconian rules regarding rejecting these ballots, these voter registrations, unless they come up with some new procedures to court Americans the right to vote, I think that you're going to see after the election very few states capable of certifying their elections on election night because they're going to have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of provisional ballots. And that people will then have to fight, that is, you know, partisans and people like myself, nonpartisans, will have to fight to make sure that ballots are in fact counted. But, of course, there will be partisans fighting to make sure those ballots are not counted.
So you're saying the chance is pretty good that there's going to be several, since it's so close, that we're going to see a scenario in Florida that it could happen in many different states.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it.
Barbara Arnwine, how concerned should, for example, black people in Florida be about racial discrimination in terms of getting to the polls and making their vote count?
Well, you know, we monitored the Election Protection Coalition, which is a group of about 100 organizations. We did do a what we call a test run in Florida during the August 31st, 2004 Florida primary. And interestingly, we saw, you know, some improvements, but we saw the following problems, which I think are severe. We saw police intimidation in 3 different counties of the 5 counties that we monitored. We saw in one county, which is the same, which it has the city of Orlando, which is Orange County, we saw police cars parked systematically in front of every Latino precinct with their lights roving. We, of course, filed a complaint with the Justice Department and the Justice Department and county officials and state officials, and within 10 minutes, they withdrew all those police cars. So it just shows you there were no valid reasons for them being there other than to intimidate voters. In addition, in Duval County, Jacksonville, we saw a police cordon across the entire, you know, street, the major artery leading into the major African-American pole. When we questioned why were they there, what were they doing, stopping cars, asking people for for their, you know, driver's license and other identification, they said, oh, well, of course, you know, this is National Red Light Stop Week. So we're stopping cars.
National Red Light Stop Week?
Yes, there is such a thing, but it does not instruct people to stop cars.
Well, I guess, yeah, they can't just out and out say, this is national, we're trying to stop black people from voting week.
Right, right. Right, exactly. But it has the same kind of impact. So it was just terrible. I mean,
did you get the sense in the debate, you know, George Bush made a comment about not wanting to say who he was going to nominate for the Supreme Court because he wants those judges to vote for him. Did you get any sense that he might be talking about, you know, during these election deliberations after the vote, that he's going to need the federal courts and the state courts to vote in his favor when the election comes into question?
When the inevitable lawsuits come.
Oh, there's going to definitely be some, you know, post-election lawsuits. There's no way you can get around it. I mean, look at all the pre-election lawsuits. And, you know, my group has been filing, you know, threats, you know, to litigate against all kinds of jurisdictions because of their crazy, crazy rules. I mean, you heard that 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, one of these county supervisors of elections in Jacksonville, Florida, actually went on radio telling voters, don't register anymore.
Really?
Yes, I'm tired. I got too much work to do. I got too many registrations. And if you should file a registration, I will not process it. Even though they had 2 weeks to go before the close of elections legally.
Wow.
So
I wouldn't think Congresswoman Corrine Brown from down there would sit still for that for very long.
No, that one, once again, you know, everybody was firing off letters to her of intent to sue, and that county supervisor did rescind and go on public TV and, you know, apologize. But just think about the thousands of voters, yet again, who are discouraged. I mean, these are the kinds of actions that don't belong in something that's called a democracy.
Right. Barbara Arnwein, can you answer this question? What can an average citizen do if they run into trouble at the polls, if they're feeling bullied by this this obviously prejudiced system? What can they do?
They need to call 1-866-R-VOTE. 1-866-R-VOTE.
Okay, we'll put that on our website as well.
Because we will have thousands of lawyers that I've been recruiting.
Oh, great.
All over the country.
Excellent.
I'm on my way right now to Los Angeles and San Francisco to meet with some of the major, you know, law firms and major lawyers. Because all over the country, we will be running a nonpartisan election protection program. And people who call that 1-866-R-O-U-R-VOTE line will, in fact, find a trained lawyer on the other side to
tremendous.
Help them, to advise them, to try to resolve problems. And a lot of times it just takes, you know, reminding these poll workers. Remember, the average poll worker is 72 years of old and totally very undertrained.
Wow.
And we have to remind them what the real law is because they make up the law a lot of times on election.
Wow. Well, thank you. We'll put that on our website, Barbara Arnwein. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. You're doing great work. That was the Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, Barbara Arnwein. The number is 866-OUR-VOTE. We'll put that on morningsedition.com. If you have any problem, if you encounter any problems around legal issues revolving on your right to vote, or even if you get to the polls, so that number will be there. We'll remind you that as we move on. Ramon just got in, apparently.
Was that him?
Yeah, he was like in and out, and I tried to be like, was he on Blow on Friday? And then, gone. But anyways, here's the president's schedule for today. 6:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Volume is power. Volume is power. 9:05 a.m. Speak at rally. Hobbs, New Mexico. Note, say, sometimes that John Kerry makes me want to scowl. Scowl. Hello, is this on? Anywho, 11 a.m. Work on list of three things I did wrong during my presidency. No rush. 12 noon, have my lumber company panel the Oval Office in knotty pine, just so Kerry will have to get rid of it. 12:20 p.m., attend Coors for Senate luncheon, Denver, Colorado. Note, this does not mean Coors for lunch. 2 p.m., practice jumping up from the chair. Note, I kicked Kerry's ass on the chair jumping. He did, too. Remember that one point where he just went, he was like, can I, me? Getting my turn. 5 p.m., speak at Rally, Red Rocks Amphitheater, Morrison, Colorado. Note, close with recreation of U2's Sunday Bloody Sunday video. Run around stage with a giant white flag. 10 p.m., bedtime in Colorado. Note, high altitude can make you lightheaded and disoriented. Enjoy it while you can. That's the President's Palm Pilot. It's 44 past the hour. I guess we'll be back in a second here on Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Rob Corddry from The Daily Show. If you're like me, and you probably are not, you're tired of getting your news from sophomoric, unreliable news outlets more focused on entertainment than news, like CNN and Newsweek. That's why I get my news from Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. That and Fox.
Do you know where your children are on the internet? In the U.S., thousands of children are affected by internet crimes every day across the country. You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Help educate our children.
Join the PCP, Printer Cartridge Recycling Program. Don't toss that cartridge. Call 1-866-STOP-ABUSE.
It doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in preventing internet crimes across the nation. It is an effective project for schools, corporations, businesses, offices, private homes, and best of all, the environment.
Don't toss. For every cartridge you return, the Child Abuse Unit receives a dollar towards the education on internet safety.
You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Educate your children.
And remember, it doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in protecting us and promoting internet safety. Don't toss.
Sponsored by the Child Abuse Unit, SPCC, 1-866-STOP-ABUSE. For more information, go to childabuseunit.com. Keep our children safe on the internet. Childabuseunit.com.
In an exclusive mini-documentary on MotherJones.com, former Reagan official Clyde Prestowitz critiques the Bush administration's policies from the perspective of a traditional conservative. Prestowitz points to the record deficit, the restriction of individual rights, and the war in Iraq as the opposite of conservative values. As a result, he says, we're less safe today than we were 3 or 4 years ago. Watch this provocative film at MotherJones.com, the source for exclusive reports and the best of the independent web. Because you need independent news.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 130 channels of 100% commercial free music plus news, sports, and talk. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo, all for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required monthly $9.99 subscription and hardware sold separately. Hardware price may vary by retailer. Activation fee applies.
Baseball and radio, they were like old friends.
Yogi Berra, remembering how back in the 40s he'd listen to hear baseball greats like Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robinson on the radio.
This is Bill Stern with a call.
Listen, DiMaggio, did you knock this baseball through my window?
Yeah, what about it?
Will you autograph it for me, please?
Here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed 1 minute silence over Cleveland.
Now, Yogi presents his favorite baseball radio shows.
I pick up the ones that remind me of how baseball and radio teamed up.
Weekdays at noon and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro Baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, Major Leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season, too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Racing thoughts. Horrible images crept through my mind. I thought I was seeing the devil and kept asking my friends if I was dead. Felt like I was having a heart attack. When we got to the hospital, I was committed to the psychiatric ward. I spent the next 14 days there.
17-year-old Lynn Smith had always heard ecstasy was the harmless and happy drug, which is only true if she'd never used it. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Hallelujah. 50 past the hour. It's Monday. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
You almost convinced me, man.
This is Morning Sedition. I have taken the Lord into my heart. And it feels good.
Wait a minute, man. What do you mean by into your heart?
I don't know, dude.
Was that intravenous? Dude. Oral?
Yeah. They're pills. You know, I took it from...
Don't talk to me about pills.
I know.
Oh, by the way, I need to say...
My doctor said I prescribed God tablets.
There you go.
Okay.
I need to say a special good morning to the folks at the Ethical Culture Society over in Teaneck, New Jersey. I went to speak there yesterday. To a very supportive audience. A lot of people are Morning Sedition fans. They're listening as we speak.
Well, then I guess I better say hello, too. How
That's
are you?
Right.
Thanks for having Riley speak. I heard it was very engaging. I wasn't invited. I would have liked to have come.
He was in L.A.
Because I hear Riley talk every morning in 3 to 4 minute pieces. So I'd like to hear a full 45-minute full-on Riley assault.
Yeah, it wasn't an assault. It was just a little of this and a little of that. I'm throwing a few things in the game.
This was the Society for Ethical
Culture, which my mom used to take me to when I was a small kid.
What's the history of that organization? Do you have any idea? I mean, who are they? Exactly?
They kind of, I don't want to say they're secular humanists, because I think that kind of wouldn't be the correct definition. But they're very interested. Several people I talked to yesterday were very interested in your take on religion. Because, ironically enough, although they're... the society may not view itself totally as a religion. There are some religious overtones to what they do. But I was surprised that a lot of them seemed pretty supportive of your view of contemporary religion.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah, I like these people more and more.
Already.
I just took God out of my heart and put it back with the Ethical Society for Ethical, let me make sure
Ethical
I know.
Culture Society.
I'm interested now. Do you have a website?
You know what? I'll have to find out.
Let's check that out.
I'll check that out. See if they. Yeah, I think they definitely. By the way, there were elections in Afghanistan over the weekend.
Right. Can we just take a quick call, Mark? Because I think
it has
to do with our last guest, Evelyn in Manhattan. How are you?
Hi, Evelyn.
Hi. I'm fine. I just want to tell you that for a few years, out of curiosity, I became a poll worker on the Upper East Side in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
I want to tell you everything that woman lawyer said. You don't know the half of what goes on in those precincts. I went to training for a whole day. They've taught me nothing about how to actually register voters. When I came that first day, I was at a total loss until two other poll workers who were experienced taught me what to do. But the people that they recruit don't have a clue, most of them, about what to do. I don't know. Some of them forget their glasses. They take extra time off. It's just a horror at what goes on, and especially people who have moved. It's just bad.
In a city like New York, Evelyn, the number of people who move and who don't realize that they have to re-register when they move, numbers in some cases in the tens of thousands.
Right.
And then they have to drive. That's the less incentive for them to vote if they have to drive to the other precinct.
Well, I tell you, whenever I had a question about a person not finding their name or whatever it was, I let them fill out an affidavit, and I said, let the Board of Elections decide. I am not God. If they came in to try to vote, I would certainly do everything I could help them. But what was very interesting, toward evening, as it got very crowded, you would have long lines, and there was this lady, and I don't even know who she was from, but she was running around saying, people only have 3 minutes to read all the propositions, and, you know, because you have to move the line along. And I thought to myself, nuts to you, lady. They can take as long as they want to read, because, you know, they're very complex, and they're written in very, very obtuse language. And I want you to know that I was on the Upper East Side, which is not an area that you consider, let's say, minority, but they recruited people from all over the city. Half the time, a good many of them didn't show up. Also, you have to work for 16 hours. You start out at 5 in the morning, and you don't get out till 9 at night. So you could imagine how tired and
wow.
discombobulated you are.
Sure,
so,
yeah,
and
yeah.
And then you have to do the manual counts, and but there has to be a better way. That's all I could tell you.
Thank
well, you know what? You know what's really odd about that? Thank
yeah.
you, Evelyn. Is that, you know, New York is using the same voting machines that have been in use since 1962. That was when they were first bought.
The thing I don't understand, your son works for the
elections. Yes, he works for the Board of Elections.
Why is it that why do they consistently understaff? Why do they undereducate? I mean, this is a nonpartisan operation.
Yes, it is.
And with something so important, why do we hear so many complaints about this, about understaffing, about, you know, not being knowing how to do this, and, you know, that people don't, why are they using, not to have anything against using the elderly, but, I mean, why does the average poll worker, 72 years old?
Well, because a lot of poll workers, a lot of other people, younger people particularly, won't commit 16 hours to spend an entire day at
one
the polls.
One day, your life?
No, a lot of people
well, you know
simply
what I say
will
to them.
Not do it.
Nuts to them. That's what I say, as everyone says. Nuts to them. You know, nuts to you guys who aren't willing to go out there one day, 16 hours. Yeah, I don't know, man. I got to sleep in. What? What could be the excuse for
in New York, this is a chronic problem. Every year this kind of thing takes place. And some years, and it was interesting because our previous guest, Barbara Arnwine, mentioned this in other states, they will put cops right at the polling site. And they'll ask people questions, they'll ask for identification, they'll do these kinds of things as a means to intimidate people away. Or if there's a long line, they'll keep the line moving very, very slowly, and then some people at the back of the line, if it doesn't feel like it's moving fast enough, hey, I'll go either come back or not.
And yeah, and for some people, if you see a cop car with its lights sitting there, you're like, you know what, maybe we should do this another time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly there's a problem, or clearly I don't want to be involved in a problem, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the wrong thing to do. I guess we're going to have to talk about Afghanistan later, but, you know, talking about having trouble being a poll worker here. Imagine being a poll worker there. That's it. You know, it's not only, it doesn't look like it's going to be a 16-hour gig. It's going to be like a six-week gig.
Yeah,
you
right.
got to be careful you don't catch one of these.
Well,
yeah,
see, now there was remarkably little violence.
Remarkably little violence in
Afghanistan. Remarkably little violence during the course of the election. But we'll get to that.
That's because the preemptive warnings kept the people away that they needed to keep away. They had some problem with dying people's fingers.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was their big safeguard to make sure people don't vote more than once, as they just stick die on their
hands.
There's the liberal agenda. We'll get into it more on the top of the hour. I thought it was good we took that call. Here
Absolutely.
We go. One, observe Columbus Day by losing big time at the nearest Indian casino. Two, before making any plans for the day, first apply the global test. Three, suggest that Domino's court the vegan market with a new meat haters pizza. That's actually a good idea. Four, question the outcome of the Afghan elections. Claim that they deliberately disenfranchised African American voters. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. They should have asked Bush three things he's done right during his presidency, man. That would harsh his mellow, dude. What's coming up, man? Help me out.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Newsweek's Susanna Meadows looks at the spin from Friday's presidential debate, Mark Maron's dream diary, Iraq, birth of a nation, you on the telephones, and much, much more here on Air America Radio.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Come, Will, you're five. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Get away!
Ah! Wait a minute, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Now, knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
It's serious. It's on.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. John Kerry went to church twice Sunday. The Democratic presidential nominee is in Florida trying to win the black vote. Kerry went to one mass with Haitian Catholics and then a second Baptist service that included leaders Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. At Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, Kerry referred to the disputed Florida recount in the 2000 presidential race by saying, "We have an unfinished march in this nation." And he promised that, quote, "never again will a million African Americans be denied their right to exercise their vote in the United States of America." Saddam Hussein would have reconstituted his plans to develop weapons of mass destruction. Speaking on Fox News Sunday, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice claims the United States is better off with Hussein behind bars.
He would have gotten out of the sanctions. He would have undermined them by both trying to pay off people on the Security Council and doing what he could to keep his expertise in place.
We would have
faced a much bigger threat down the road.
National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice speaking with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday. Two more American soldiers killed in Iraq. The rocket attack wounded five other soldiers. The U.S. military says the attack happened this morning in southern Baghdad. No other details available. More than 1,000 members of the U.S. military have died since American-led forces invaded Iraq in March 2003. Allegations of fraud swirling around Afghanistan's presidential election, even as ballot boxes pour into the counting centers across the country. A panel of three foreign election experts have been brought in to end the controversy. On Saturday, all 15 challengers to interim President Hamid Karzai withdrew in the middle of the voting. At least two candidates have since backed off from their boycott. Interim President Karzai, the man heavily favored to win the election, along with international officials, are urging the remaining candidates to accept the outcome of the election. The opposition claims the ink marks used to prevent multiple voting were flawed. A slow transfer of arms beginning in Sadr City's district of Baghdad. Followers of radical cleric Muqtada al-Sadr trickled into police stations to hand in weapons today under a deal seen as the key step toward ending weeks of fighting with U.S. and Iraqi forces in the Shiite militant stronghold. Defense Secretary Don Rumsfeld, during an unannounced visit to Iraq, said Iraqis must take the seeds of security that the U.S. military has planted and grow their political and economic systems. What some are calling the most sweeping overhaul of corporate taxes in nearly two decades faces a possible final vote in the Senate today. Supporters of the bill, which offers $136 billion in tax breaks to manufacturers and others, predict the package will pass by a wide margin. It was approved in the House by a margin of nearly 2-1. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
In college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's Stephen, the G's at the gate, the Score TV, the Music Rocks, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patreon with left and right to call the shots, Matt's infection, John McMullen, Laurie Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank the Factor, Traffic Savage, Hazen Cryo, Randy Rhodes, and MP on his comedy and all the stars.
Life is a rock, but the
this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Heather is teaching kids about money, and they think they need a credit card to get a home loan. I'll answer her email next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Heather emails with questions about loan approval. I'm writing because I have a quick question. I work with a lot of young people that I've been advising to stay away from credit cards. They're concerned because they fear they will not be able to buy a home with a loan if they don't have a credit history. Is this completely true? It's completely untrue. That is one of the biggest lies floating around out there. Fannie Mae, FHA, and VA underwriting guidelines clearly state that if you can get a mortgage company that actually does underwriting, they don't do lending for dummies with a Beacon score only, you can get a home if you have a credit bureau report that has your name, address, and social security number on it and nothing else. If you've been on the job for 2 years steady, you paid your landlord early or on time for 2 years steady and can prove it, and if you're not trying to buy too much house with a reasonable down payment and a reasonable payment as a percentage of your income, you qualify for a home. You do not have to take out a credit card or a car loan in order to qualify for a house. That is a lie.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet. Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far. So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes. That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed. Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite. Get out. Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can slash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, men and children, women, girls, kittens, feral cats, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, San Francisco, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I got some email from a woman who teaches at my old high school in Albuquerque.
Really?
Yeah, and she's very into the show, and she's very excited about the show, and she's in the history department over there. And it's weird when she wrote me this letter, I realized, oh my God, this woman's younger than me, and she's teaching my house. Because even if you're like an old guy like me, which isn't that old, but you know, 40.
Old enough.
40.
Mm-hmm.
40. I am now officially in my early 40s, but I'm not afraid of that. But anyway, so when a teacher from your high school actually writes you, you're like, oh, it's Mrs. So-and-so. Like, you know, like you, I automatically assume that, one, she's older than me, two, that she has more authority than me, and that, three, I could get in trouble. So,
mm-hmm. And she was younger than you.
I'm assuming, yeah.
She was lauding you.
Yeah, she dug it. And I'm just excited to know that somebody in my high school, and then I asked her some questions about some people that used to teach her. Speaking of teachers who are dead, Jacques Derrida, the... French deconstructionist has died. But did he really die? I mean, that's the question. Isn't death really a piece of language? Isn't that just a semantic trap, death?
Was he a Rastafarian or something?
Did he really cease to exist? Or has he always non-existed and all we have are his texts to depart? You know, I don't know how to deconstruct things, but I'm just going to question the nature of death and the word death in relation to Derrida. Because does somebody like that ever die? What is cancer? It's also a crab. Not a disease. Isn't there a lot of way you can go with
this? Is that the kind of stuff he used to run?
That's how I figure it.
Okay.
You just remove things you want to remove and use it however you want to use it. It's so difficult to define context, certainly when it comes to news and information in this day and age. Mm. But I think deconstruction was sort of a prophecy
of what we're dealing with, that, you know, what is meaning really in a world where anything can be spun? What is meaning really in a world where the Dulfer Report can be seen by the president as something
that's a good thing?
Proactive.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
You know, it just seems to be competing, you know, competing spin, you know, competing, you know, the at which level can you support your own context? And none of it has anything to do with reality. And then people like Derrida, you know, through playing games with words and playing games with context, sort of like, you know, really make you realize that what we define our reality by is just you know, this sort of like the dogma of language, yeah, and the dogma of our own perception at any given moment in time. So then you really, now I'm starting to freak myself out.
No, let me tell you something. The Rastafarians have developed a mindset that's very, some, you know, Rastafarians refuse, many of them refuse to write wills because they reject the notion of death. In the conventional sense.
You know what that mindset is called? High. I'm kidding.
No, it's Haile Selassie. Yeah, that's what it is. No, because, I mean, they have rejected the idea that he's dead.
Yes.
And he's been gone for like 20-some-odd years. Nobody's heard from him. But the Rastafarians don't believe he died, I guess, in the most spiritual sense of the word, because I assume most of them have accepted the fact that his mortal coil has left us.
Well, right, isn't that, but that's, you know, that's part of the, you know, that... That is what it's all about, is what does that person leave spiritually? What does that person leave on paper? What does that person leave as far as the myth of that person? I mean, these certain types of people, certainly Haile Selassie is going to, you know, outlive in concept and in mythology and in his teachings, you know, yeah, many people. So I guess the trick is lay down some stuff. You know, get some stuff out there in the world that'll guarantee that you exist, you know, forever if you
Bob
can.
Marley. Sure. Bob Marley is an example of a guy. He'll be in existence. People will listen to his music for hundreds of years.
And then he does that weird...
Yep.
I used to get really obsessed when I was high on that little thing he could do with his voice. You're like, I used to love that song.
I saw him the first time he came to the States in 1972.
Really?
Yes, he was at the Wallman Skating Rink. He had done some gigs at Max's Kansas City, which was an old nightclub slash performance space down in Lower Manhattan. Uh-huh. He had done a series of gigs there, but then he did this gig outdoors at the Wallman Skating Rink in Central Park. And a friend of mine called me and said, "You've got to come see this group, Bob Marley and the Wailers." I said, "Who? I've never heard of these people."
Yeah, yeah.
I went there, and I was completely transformed by this guy. Because, first of all, much like George Bush, he never stood still. I mean, the guy just was this ball of energy. And this was before he had kind of separated himself out from the group. There was Peter Tosh was still with him, Buddy Wailer. These were the original Wailers.
Right.
Back then. And, I mean, they just did a show, tore that place absolutely up. And then I met him, actually kicked a soccer ball around with him in our old offices when I was working at WLIB some years ago.
Wow, man. You know what? This is making me hungry. for the bad weed.
Uh-oh.
Get Ramon on the phone. Let's get high, man. To hell with this politics stuff.
Let's kick up a little
Bob
bit of
Marley.
Yeah.
I think that you've just done something no one has ever done before, which is compare Marley to George Bush on in any way. Yeah, in any way, just on the fidgety level, which is, you know, very basic. But I think that I just
hey,
think,
look, if George Bush had listened to some Bob Marley, he might be a better president today.
I got a feeling George Bush probably did listen to some Bob Marley.
when he was supposed to be flying a plane, right?
And then you know, once he got off the drug, someone said, "Here, listen to some Waylon Jennings. Let's turn this boat around."
Well, this is profound here.
Got nothing against Waylon Jennings. You know, that was a misapplication of country music. I don't know what George Bush listens to. All I know is that I had to picture him with dreads for a minute. And I actually got a pretty good laugh in my head.
I would too, yeah.
I used to love Bob Marley. And, now you've sort of sparked my interest in reading a little more about Rastafarian.
Yeah, you should check it out, man. It's a very, very interesting religion. And if you want to, if you really want to put a window into Bob Marley's soul, there's one song that's very difficult to find.
Yeah.
It's his live version of the song Kinky Reggae. It lasts for about 7 minutes. He recorded it live at the Hammersmith Odeon in London.
It's hard to find?
It is impossible to find.
Really?
Yeah, because it was never released in the States.
It.
No,
you
I don't.
You don't have
it? I had a vinyl version of it years ago. I don't know whatever happened to it. But it was such an incredible, because the original song is only 3 minutes long. He doubles the length of the song and just like gets into introducing the band and just kind of kicks back, sort of like James Brown did in some of those 19-minute takes.
Yeah.
Divide them in half and make part one.
Working man in show business. The man is saying, "I go crazy. Try me. You got the power."
Yeah. You're starting to sound like Al Sharpton.
I love that live at the Apollo in, what was it, 1962, that James Brown album?
Yeah, there were two of them. One was in 62, one was in 67. Well, I have both of those.
Ding, 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 ding. And, you know, it's real interesting stuff if we're going to continue on this riff about, you know, I just realized one thing about reality checking my desire to, you know, look into Rastafari. As they say in the particular version of recovery that I apply to, you know, that might be some stinking thinking, bro. There's some part of my brain going, maybe there is a way that I can smoke pot for the right reasons.
You don't have to smoke pot to be a Rastafari, just like probably, you don't have to have dreadlocks to be a Rastafari.
And just like I don't have to not eat pork to be a Jew.
I never looked at it that way, but you're 100% right. Shall we talk about the Afghan elections? We only got a minute.
I was going to talk about the song Night Train, but we'll do it later.
Oh, wait a minute.
Well, you know, in Nick Tosh's book about Sonny Liston, he talks about the evolution of the song Night Train through Liston's career, because Liston used to come out to it.
Yeah. And he used to train to it also. He used to shadowbox to it.
But there's like two or three versions of the song Night Train.
Yeah.
And I think James Brown did a later version of it, didn't he?
He did a version in about 59, 60 in there. There's one earlier than his, though. I'm not sure if it's Bill Doggett. Right. I'd have to double-check the earlier version.
But, you know, he uses the song Night Train as sort of the evolution of what Liston became, that he was willing to update his version of Night Train, you know, as he became more of a, you know, this huge presence, you know what I mean?
Huge presence? He was the boogeyman. Sonny Liston was the guy who my mother used to tell me if I didn't behave myself, he'd come to my bed and beat me to death.
He's just this menace.
And yeah.
I've read some great stuff about just the whole sort of, like, the Ali Liston standoff, what it meant, you know, in terms of, you know, racial interpretation of, you know, in terms of, you know, the different types of archetypes that people saw black people as. Like, you know, Liston represented the boogeyman.
He represented every white person's worst caricature of what a black person was. But, see, Ali, on the other hand, came across as this narcissist, and very few black people were narcissists during that period. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm beautiful, I'm the greatest, black people were, which is what attracted me to him in the first place. Liston, see, the thing was, everybody thought Liston was going to be the heavyweight champ for 100 years.
He was a classic, real, old-school badass.
Yeah, he was. But the thing is, he was a much deeper guy than a lot of people gave him credit for. He was a great lover of music. It was no accident that he listened to stuff like Night Train and James Brown and those kinds of musicians, because he really enjoyed the blues. He enjoyed the blues and rhythm and blues.
And he learned how to box in prison.
Yeah.
It's a pretty interesting book, that book that Nick Tosh wrote. I'd like to have him on. I'd also like to have Eric Schlosser on to talk about chocolate, because I read that's weird. Why am I? Oh, but you know, I know why I said that, because I read an article in the New York Times Magazine about the Mars Company doing research with chocolate to find the flavanols in it that are supposedly good for your heart, and trying to figure out how to way to make candy that is actually like stops heart attacks. And I'm thinking, I'm well on my way. If you start making some healthy M&Ms,
you're there.
So I guess what we're going to do now is we're going to segue from Sonny Liston and Cassius Clay and talking about Night Train
Bob Marley
to talking about the debates with Susanna Meadows, and that she is the general editor for Newsweek magazine, and she was covering Kerry. She was in the debate hall on Friday, so she's going to be great to reflect with, and she'll be coming up in a minute here on Air America Radio.
Mike Mills from REM, and you are listening to Mark and Mark on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka! It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right. Yippee! I'm going on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Larry King here to tell you I'm getting more from my vitamin C. I'm getting the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So do what I do and get more from your vitamin C. Take Ester C. E-S-T-E-R-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look for Ester C and now new Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 130 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo, all for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required monthly $9.99 subscription and hardware sold separately. Hardware price may vary by retailer. Activation fee applies.
We wanted to play you a clip from Sirius Raw Dog's new show, Right Between the Ears, but, well, the show's live, and it starts Saturday, so we don't have anything to play. So we thought we'd improvise.
Two dyslexics walk into a bra! Bra! Dyslexics, get it?
Well, we promise it'll be a lot funnier than that. Right Between the Ears, this Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, Sirius Raw Dog 147. Comedy uncensored.
Do you honor your mother and father? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Perhaps you grew up in a home where you only remember abuse, alcoholism, drugs. Your memories of your father or mother are painful. Well, it's a lot easier to remember only the bad times and forget about the things our parents did right. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to look at them through a different lens, to honor them regardless of their failures. Start understanding that they may have experienced similar pain from their parents. Can you thank them today for something? Their work, their sacrifice, some good memory? Think about it. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Yeah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seatbelt.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's drugs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
When it comes to food safety, experts stress that cold temperatures will keep harmful bacteria from growing or multiplying on food. Remember the 2-hour rule. Refrigerate or freeze perishables as soon as possible. And don't let food sit out at room temperature for more than 2 hours. Refrigerating foods quickly is one way you can give bacteria the cold shoulder. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
That's James Brown reaching out to you, Florida, to do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Night train. 22 past the hour. Good pull there, Kayla.
It's a sunny lift in Monday here in the Morning's
Edition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
And now, of course, it's time for my dream diary. I'm at the coffee house for poetry night. The guy with the dread steps to the mic. Now dig the political stylings of Mark Bongos Maron. I'd like to share with you a poem called Indignation by Mark Maron. Indignation, consternation, the confrontation to lead this nation has larger implications than your PlayStation. Conflagration. degradation, bad vibrations like Haitian devastation, explode in cartoon colors like Japanimation. Twice Bush has been tested and bested. He doesn't look rested. And the double-breasted suits that once invested now say not interested. Junior's lies were no surprise, but the rage in his eyes made me realize that some by sin shall rise and some by virtue fall. Recall them all, y'all. No weapons of destructive mass were found by CIA brass, and though the truth is as clear as glass, still that ass will pass that same old gas. This snake in the grass was last in his class. Jobs are lost, our salad is tossed, we've been double-crossed. And if I were the boss or Robert Frost, my rhymes could reveal the true cost. Still, history will claim that when our house was aflame, the fire trucks came and drenched those to blame and extinguished our shame. The smoke will clear, hope is near, the new frontier. So glad that we're fighting for our lives here. I woke up and my bed was filled with a bag full of lemons.
Oh, Lord.
Mine
and water.
Right now, general editor for Newsweek magazine covering, she was covering John Caddy. Getty? J. Paul Getty. It's a freewheeling Monday, man. We're just riffing. We're spontaneously, semantically riffing in the name of Jacques Derrida. We're just jumping around, man. We're jumped around. We're deconstructing the culture at large. But Susanna Meadows was at the debate, and we're going to talk to her right now. Good morning, Susanna.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Good morning.
How are you doing? You feel all right? You feel awake? You feel good?
I'm getting there.
Okay. There you go.
That poetry will do it to you.
Can I just ask you a quick question? Just satisfy my own curiosity. Did you notice his jaw going, Butch's jaw going when he was sitting still? Sometimes the jaw would go back and forth.
I didn't notice that. So I don't know if you guys knew this. I was actually sitting in the hall watching the debate. So my view, I had a very different view from you guys who watched it on TV.
Wait, you were sitting in one of the chairs with the people?
No. No, please, I'm not a real person. No. I was back a little bit. They had us up in the cheap seats.
Okay, well, so what was your impression? You're sitting there, because I thought it was some pretty good live television myself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this stuff is great theater.
Yeah.
The interesting thing for me was the command. I mean, they both, as you know, have very different manners. And when I went back and I watched Bush on TV, and he came off much different from watching him live. He was actually very commanding in the room, which I found fascinating.
Commanding like a guy that was high on amphetamines?
that's what I'm talking about. He didn't come off over-caffeinated like he did when you watched him on TV. When he was in this big room, which was a gym, you listened to everything he said. I mean, he definitely has a presence. I don't know if that's just because he's president of the United States, but you listen to what he says, and with Kerry, it's a different story. You sort of have to, you know, you have to really concentrate.
Oh, come on now. He did pretty good.
But I'm just in a room compared to watching him on TV. Their demeanors, I think Kerry's demeanor works better for like a close setting like TV, but in a big room, it was a different story.
So you're saying that that Bush knows how to turn up the wattage and rock the house a little bit.
Mm. And, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, okay, go ahead.
Now, I'm curious. Did you get a sense that most of the people in the room with you also felt that way?
No, there was no... I mean, it was just silent the whole time. There were a few laughs, but, I mean, people were really, you couldn't tell what people were thinking. It was really, really quiet and intense.
But what did you think? I mean, in terms of quality, it felt to me that Bush was on defensive. He was over the top. And on a lot of things, Kerry's deliberate and sort of, you know, focused manner was a very good counter to Bush.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think they both were trying to be aggressive in different ways, and I think Kerry's aggression, the sort of like using Bush's own words against him, that kind of thing, was much more effective than the like getting mad at Charlie Gibson and cutting him off, as Bush did.
Right. Yeah, Bush got out. He looked like an impetuous child for a second there.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Kerry's, you know, just being really strong with the answers. I thought his answers, especially toward the end, were much stronger than Bush's.
Okay, we got to take a break. Will you stay with us, Susanna?
Absolutely.
We're talking to Susanna Meadows, the general editor from Newsweek magazine, and we will be back with her. It is 28 past the hour. Call us, 866-303-2270. And we'll put you on and talk to you. That'd be good.
Buffalo soldier.
Fear, Coma. These blockbuster books made Robin Cook the master of the medical thriller. Now, he returns with Seizure, the heart-pounding bestseller ripped from today's headlines. When a researcher develops a method to alter DNA using stem cells, one man receives treatment with terrifying results. Critics call Seizure infectious and chilling. Get your pulse racing. Read Seizure by Robin Cook, now at Berkeley paperback.
LegalTees.net, the website where you'll find the t-shirts that are funny, whimsical, political, and maybe even controversial. Do you know why sharks don't attack lawyers? I speak basic. What do you speak? To find the answers, go to LegalTees.net. That's LegalTees.net. You can choose computer tees, legal tees, political tees, or custom make your own shirt. Go to LegalTees.net and decide for yourself.
You will not be considered unpatriotic if you disagree with our shirts.
It's the biggest radio news in a generation, and it's happening on Sirius, the king of all media. Howard Stern has announced he'll be joining us exclusively starting in January 2006. It's his show, his way, completely uncensored. Now, there's never been a clearer choice for the future of satellite radio. Soon, you'll be able to hear Howard anywhere in the country. Tell your friends and tell your family, Howard Stern is coming to Sirius.
This is Earth and Sky. A listener writes, I've heard that people who are shipwrecked shouldn't drink seawater. Why? I thought the human body had about the same percentage of salt as the sea.
Actually, the concentration of salt in the human body is about a quarter to a third of what's in seawater. Drinking a lot of seawater will raise the concentration of salt in your blood. It can make you more dehydrated than drinking nothing at all.
Let's say you go down to the beach, fill up a big glass with seawater, and drink it down. The salty water goes into your stomach, then it enters your bloodstream and increases the salt concentration in your blood. The job of your kidneys is to filter your blood to get rid of toxins and waste, including too much salt, and to expel it through your urine.
But human kidneys have to excrete a certain amount of water when they expel wastes. That's why you can end up more dehydrated if you drink seawater. Your kidneys have to get rid of that extra load of salt, and that takes extra water. The dehydration can lead to seizures or brain damage, and your overworked kidneys could fail.
So if you're stranded at sea, it's better to hope for rain than to drink seawater, or catch a fish and eat it. That'll give you a less salty source of fluids. That's our show for today. With thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6, name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
There's a good reason why doctors and dentists are always washing their hands. Soap and hot water remove harmful bacteria, including the bugs that cause food-related illnesses. Keep it clean in the kitchen. Wash hands, utensils, and work surfaces thoroughly before preparing and eating a meal after handling raw poultry, meat, eggs, and seafood. This reminder brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
I am Mark Maron. That is Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Air America Radio. Let me just do this quick bit, and we'll get back on the phone with Newsweek's general editor, Susanna Meadows. But right now, she's going to have to sit through this. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 104. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. So you got a visit from Donald Rumsfeld this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He always spreads joy, doesn't he? Here's what he said. The U.S. may be able to reduce troops after January if security improves and local forces continue to expand and become more effective. Translation. We're having our mail forwarded, getting a cell phone in this area code, looking around for a health club. You don't mind if we crash on the couch for a while, do you? And hey, we'll definitely kick in for groceries. That's right. New best friends, we're staying. If you thought Rumsfeld was coming over to tell you when we were leaving, nope. So why are we not leaving? Yes, that would be the reason. We came here to establish liberty, democracy, and all the things you need to become an oil-producing client state. Notice which word comes first there. Once the oil starts flowing, you can shoot at each other all day long, and I suspect you will. Okay. But all this violence is getting in the way of our master plan, which is reducing the price of gas by 10 cents a gallon and claiming it is a huge victory for freedom. Well, it's freedom for U.S. For us, U.S. It's freedom for us. You need to start thinking that way. So good luck and God bless. This is day 104 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. That ought to wake you up, Susanna.
There you go.
Did that wake you up?
Hello.
You okay? Did you make it through that?
Well, you know, I was dozing off.
Come on! Brutal. How can you doze off during that? Susanna Meadows is here. What do you got?
Susanna Meadows, who is the general editor from Newsweek. Susanna, my wife noticed in watching the debate, she noticed it before I did, that there seemed to be an absence of non-white faces in the audience. Is that reality, and was there not, this is St. Louis we're talking about, it's not Montpelier, Vermont or something. It seemed like in a city that's, about 35-40% black, there weren't that many black people in the audience. And how many black people were there among your colleagues?
There are a bunch of black people among my colleagues, although I don't know if there were any in the actual hall. I mean, but that's a function of this sort of rotating pool we have going. But maybe seven out of 30. I mean, I think the press is pretty, has a good mix of people, but the way they found that sample of 140 people was random. It was Gallup, who's done it every year for this is the fourth time they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it like they do any poll. It's a random. It's a calling. It's the St. Louis metropolitan area, and they call random numbers.
You know, when random becomes prejudice, we really got to start asking questions.
No, I mean, if it's random and it's St. Louis, again, you'd think if you were doing it truly at random, you'd have more non-white representation than what you saw. Maybe the TV cameras missed all the black people. I don't know.
I thought I saw a few. But you're right. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, it looked pretty white down there.
So did you read this piece in the New York Times Magazine on Kerry? Did you read that?
I'm almost through it. I think it's really interesting. I think that he, I mean, my favorite scene so far is the water scene.
Yeah. That was funny. And that was the reporter was talking about how he offered him an Avion. He said, no, that's not my brand. And then Kerry said it was because they put minerals in it. And then he sort of speculated on what he must have been thinking at that moment as opposed to which water to choose.
Right.
So he wouldn't seem. Yeah, that was a good part. But what about the part where he says he's trying to, you know, minimize the threat of terrorism to the state of nuisance by approaching it as a global law enforcement issue? And now it seems that the Republicans are picking that up and spinning that, and it's starting to pick up a little momentum. Did you get to that part yet?
No? I'm not quite there, but I can speak to that.
Okay, great. Please, will you speak to it?
Well, I just sort of think that, I think that he's been a little afraid to come out and say this is what he thinks. I mean, I think he's so worried about the Republicans doing exactly that, and maybe that's what you have to do during an election, but I don't think he's been. I mean, I've been listening to him for months and months, and he does not articulate a separate plan. I mean, he sort of will say, well, I'll do something different, but it really ends up sounding a lot like he's not willing to say it's not a war on terrorism.
Yeah, it's almost like in the debate there was that sort of rambling answer about abortion where I was just sitting there going, just say it. Just say you're pro-choice and get
right.
past it, you know?
Right.
Didn't you feel that?
Yeah, I mean, I actually, you know, I'm the only one in America, but I actually thought his answer was quite eloquent. I mean, it wasn't direct, but I thought that he actually seemed pretty compassionate, and I think it's something he's thought a lot about. I think Teresa is a little less pro-choice than he is, and I think that's an issue they talk about. I also noticed that she leaned forward. That was the one time she really seemed really interested. I mean, her manner is usually to be pretty calm during these things. She leaned forward and was really curious to see what this question was, and I actually thought, I mean, you're right that he could have been more direct, but I actually thought he was quite thoughtful.
Right, but he kind of rambled on about global policy in terms of the message we spread to other countries that was sort of dangled there.
Yeah, and he just doesn't, I mean, that's his, and I think the point of this piece, which is that he's trying to get through this election without messing up rather than using it as an opportunity to, you know, to persuade people, I think is exactly accurate.
Mm-hmm. Susanna, obviously before Friday's debate, George W. Bush had to make up ground while John Kerry was trying to maintain, I guess, the edge that he got from the first debate. How do you see them going into Wednesday's final debate? Is Bush still trying to make up ground, or do you think he's kind of done that with Friday?
I think that Kerry's still a little bit of in people's minds. I think it's a cumulative effect. I think Bush made up ground. I think Kerry got a little bit further than that since he had two good performances. But certainly, I mean, the good thing for Kerry is that now expectations are a little back to normal for Bush, and they're a little raised, and so it'll make it easier for Kerry to make a better impression.
Yeah, well, if he gets all jacked up for the last one, I don't know what's going to happen. But thanks for joining us, Susanna. Really good to talk to you.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you very much.
You take care. Susanna Meadows, she's the general editor for Newsweek magazine. I think he was high. Victoria in Florida, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Hey, Victoria.
What's happening?
I wanted to comment regarding the reporter you just had on. You know, she made the comment about she didn't think Kerry came off as well. She was there live. Well, I was recently at the town hall meeting in Florida Saturday night, and
yes.
I saw Kerry live. And what impressed me the most was this man's ability to relate and command the audience. He didn't have people managing the crowd,
right.
Which you sometimes see with popular people, you know, pointing to the people who should be picked next or managing the mics or crowd control. He took total command.
Bush has people sign a loyalty oath.
Yeah.
Pardon me, please?
Bush has people sign a loyalty oath that come into the hall to see him, that they are,
yes.
they are voting. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and I was so impressed by that. And I took my 8-year-old grandson because I thought it was history in the making.
Yeah.
And when you can hold the attention of an 8-year-old, I think that says a lot for it, too. But, I mean, the man was able to respond to some, I thought, very tough questions off the cuff. Unrehearsed. Nobody's rehearsing this guy, not like our president anyway. And I just wanted to say that I thought was the most impressive, that we could have a president that could relate that closely to the people and so comfortably.
And also speak deeply about issues.
I felt so.
Yep.
Yes. Sometimes he's a little vague, but I think this man is an intellectual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not going to nail himself to give an answer that's got so many things to consider.
Right. Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope. I would like to think our country is in a position that we would think about intellect more than TV ratings and personalities.
Or wedge issues. Yeah.
But,
absolutely.
I think that remains to be seen. But I do think this man is highly intelligent and very thoughtful about his decisions and how he responds to people.
Absolutely. And thanks for your call, Victoria.
Thank you.
She's absolutely right. You know, you watch a guy, you know, and he speaks eloquently. He speaks. The one thing I noticed about the debate the other night is that he really, you know, was a wisdom. Like, there was a wisdom to, you know, how long he had been, you know, thinking about certain issues and how deeply he understood them.
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't know that a lot of people may have shared Susanna's view that Bush had I'm talking about now people who were there live in the hall, had this commanding presence that didn't come off on TV.
But just remember that, an accident can have a commanding presence. As a performer, you know, there's a lot of times where things are, you're in a commanding presence with somebody who is screaming. Of course that's going to command attention. It's like you can't sit there at a dinner party where there's a child having a temper tantrum and pretend like something's not going on. I mean, commanding does not necessarily mean that he was intelligent or engaging or, you know, it could have just been like, you know, I'm a little frightened. This guy seems a little out of control. We'll take the rest of your calls after the break. 866-303-2270, 44 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Do you know where your children are on the internet? In the U.S., thousands of children are affected by internet crimes every day across the country. You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Help educate our children.
Join the PCP, Printer Cartridge Recycling Program. Don't toss that cartridge. Call 1-866-STOP-ABUSE.
It doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You could be the difference in preventing internet crimes across the nation. It is an effective project for schools, corporations, businesses, offices, private homes, and best of all, the environment.
Don't toss.
For every cartridge you return, the Child Abuse Unit receives a dollar towards the education on Internet safety.
You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Educate your children.
And remember, it doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in protecting us and promoting Internet safety. Don't toss.
Sponsored by the Child Abuse Unit, SPCC, 1-866-STOP-ABUSE. For more information, go to childabuseunit.com. Keep our children safe on the Internet. Childabuseunit.com.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Attention. Rolling Stone and college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's Stephen, the cheese at the gate, the Score TV, the music rocks, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots, Matt's Infection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank Perfecter, Traffic Savage, Hazen Fire, Randy Rosen, MP, all this comedy and all the stars.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro Baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, Major Leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season, too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Black people, a stroke doesn't care about your money or status. Know that it could be a stroke if suddenly you have problems speaking or seeing. Maybe one side gets numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
My opinion about the world counts, and I have something to say.
Young people today are acutely aware of the world around them. And optimists give these youth a chance to be heard through their Optimist Essay Contest.
I want to express my feelings, and I want the world to know what I think.
Our local optimists are giving young people that opportunity through the Optimist Essay Contest. Optimists, bringing out the best in kids.
There's something important you can do to help your child develop properly starting at birth. Have your baby's hearing tested and follow up on any advice you're given. It's easy, inexpensive, and can help you protect your child's ability to learn. For more information, contact the American Speech Language Hearing Association on the web at asha.org or call 1-800-638-8255. 1-800-638-8255.
All right, 49 past the hour. Mark Maron, it's Mark Riley. It's Morning Sedition.
Yep.
Air America Radio. Kent the Colonel Jones is sitting here in the studio.
Gentlemen.
Yes, how are you?
What's up? How you doing, Kent?
Feeling good. How are you?
Good.
Well, we know things are tough in the job market right now, so we've decided to help out. We scanned through the Sunday Help Wanted listings and found this for the Morning Sedition Monday job listing.
I hope.
Are you a broken-down, crack-addicted prostitute with a strong desire to work for the re-election of George Bush? Perhaps more to the point, are you a broken-down, crack-addicted prostitute with a strong desire for some easy cash? We need someone willing to pose for a series of discreet photographs with a John Kerry look-alike and whatever exotic pets our team is able to assemble. Ideally, we would like someone who looks like they were recently knocked around a little, missing teeth, maybe a black eye or two. If you're not currently in that condition, we can work with you. For a generous premium, of course. Minority applicants are strongly encouraged to apply. Also seeking someone proficient in Photoshop. Contact Karl Rove, the White House, Washington, D.C. Let's take alias Candy's call first here, and then we'll talk to Kent. Candy, how are you today?
Hey, Candy.
Good morning, guys. You light up my life just like Engelbert Humperdinck.
Have you made any progress with the letters to Congressman about being not allowed
about
to
JetBlue?
No, you know, that's all stuff. I really don't even want to talk about that.
Okay.
You moved on, haven't you?
No, they apologized to me, and actually, you know, I never accepted the apology, and I know this is not going to get anywhere.
Okay.
But
they did apologize.
Yes, they
okay.
apologized.
That's good.
That's all.
But you don't accept it.
No, I don't accept, and I will not fly.
Okay.
As long as this guy is president, I'm not going to get on a plane.
Okay.
Amtrak for Candy.
Amtrak either.
Okay.
I just want to make a comment about the debate.
Okay.
I really feel that some people seem to be hypnotized and blind about Bush.
Yes.
I think this guy improvises.
Yeah.
And looks like he needs a mental evaluation.
Yeah, I thought he looked like he was on drugs.
Well, I think he might be, and I also think a psychiatrist should evaluate him.
Well, you know what, a psychiatrist did evaluate him. There's a whole book, I think it's called Bush on the Couch by a psychiatrist in Washington did a whole psychological analysis of the president.
Really?
And guess what? He's crazy.
I think a lot of us think he is, but, you know, there are people out there who are blinded. But I also think that the undecided voter should go see the documentary Up the River.
Yeah. Did you go see it?
Huh?
You saw it?
I saw it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and how'd you like, what'd you think of Carrie on Friday? Good, right?
Carrie is great. I say to the people, please go buy Lucy in America by Sandra Burr because you'll vote for Carrie, definitely. You'll be convinced that he's the right guy for us.
You just put, which book did she, what was that, Carrie?
Was that a movie?
Lucy in America is a book by Senator Byrd.
Okay, okay.
Oh, Robert Byrd, the old Klan guy.
Yeah. It's a good book.
Okay, okay.
I know. That was a long time ago. We marched with the Klan. It was a long time ago. He said,
I know, but let me tell you something. After you read this book,
yeah.
I don't think he's with the Klan anymore.
No.
I think he retired. Turned in his robe.
Candy, call us again next week. Okay?
Thanks, Candy.
You take care. Bye. I love her. Like Engelbert Humperdinck. Who would have known?
He's not in the Klan anymore.
No, he's not. No. If you read the book, you'll
absolutely
know.
Absolutely. Yes. He officially resigned on what date?
just a long time ago.
Ago in a galaxy far away.
Nothing came. You know, it's amazing that guy was in the Klan, actually.
Well, he was from West Virginia. He was a white guy in the 30s. You know, I mean,
how did you defend that, though? Like, I was in the Klan when we were just having fun.
No, I mean, he really...
some guys with some costumes.
Yeah. He really doesn't try to defend it. I give him that much. He really doesn't defend it. He says, I was wrong.
Okay.
And that's a really rare commodity in Washington. Ask our president.
So, Kent, well, I understand that you had a shocker watching the TV.
A little bit of a shocker the other day. I'm watching Bush come off the airplane, which is always disturbing in itself, watching him. He's got on the regular guy jacket, the one, you know, I'm like you. So he's coming down the stairs, and in St. Louis, before the debate the other day, down the stairs, shakes hands with a young man who's got on a suit, and I go, I'm not paying attention because I tend to not to.
Yeah.
I take another look, and it is my brother.
Your brother's shaking
hands? My brother is shaking hands and grinning at our president. And now, my brother is a lobbyist, and he is a Republican, and I knew all of this, but I did not know he would be the first one.
Really?
Shaking W's hand. He got off the plane. Now so...
let's talk about those feelings.
That feeling.
Is your older brother?
Yes. I have one older brother. He's a good guy is the thing. It's just that he's kind of on their team now.
He's on Team Bush?
He's in the compound.
What does he lobby for?
For the National Small Business Association. So he actually, I'm okay with that because it's a lot of mom-and-pa businesses and they're fighting Walmart and they're fighting a lot of things that are good causes and worthy causes. And so that part of it is not my problem. It's that he has been co-opted, I believe, by the Republicans.
Forces of evil.
By the forces of evil.
Yeah.
And it's tough because he feels membership has its privileges.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I think that's what's happening.
Now you guys, I'm an older brother, so I know that you probably you've gone through.
I'm the younger one.
I know.
I came out different, obviously.
But did he beat up on you a little bit?
All older brothers do. I did that to my younger brother. See, I didn't beat him up that much. I used to sucker him into doing really stupid stuff that he got beat up by my parents for.
It comes back at him. My brother, eventually, just like grew bigger than me and one day sat me down and said, I can kick your ass now. You know that.
Do I have to demonstrate this?
Yeah, you understand that.
Your younger brother's bigger than you, too? Because my younger brother's bigger than me.
Oh, I met your younger brother.
Yeah.
He's a tall dude.
Yeah, he's about 6'2", 6'2", yeah.
So how are we going to handle this, Jones? What are we going to do?
I'm not sure what's going to happen. In 4 weeks, we all have to reassess our situation, I think.
Well, what about with your brother? How are we going to handle this situation? Have you talked to him about it?
We have tried. There's a lot of common ground, is the thing.
Okay.
Is the thing. I think if you actually get into the talking to Republicans thing, there is quite a lot of common...
What do you mean?
Common national security, getting into infrastructure issues.
When you
actually start talking about political issues and try to get away from the rhetoric and get away from the anger and stuff, there's quite a lot of common ground.
Yeah.
Like, is it okay for us to alienate all of our foreign allies?
Right.
No,
that's not good.
Right.
And they'll nod and go, yeah, that's a good idea. Do we really want to be in Iraq forever? No.
No, we don't really.
Does it ever get to this point? Well, you're stupid.
No, I'm not. You're stupid. Shut up. I'm telling Mom. No, you shut up. No, you. Ow. Problem with that, Mom's a Republican.
Oh.
I lose that argument.
So you, are you, you like the black sheep then?
Yeah, there's only two of us in the family, but one of the sheep is black.
And it would be me. What about cousins, other people?
Oh, like they're all Republicans, too.
Wow.
Yeah. Really? So my family reunions are spent. So you're on the radio?
Yeah.
What do you do now? And I'm like,
yeah, right.
So it's comedy writing job. Yeah.
None of them have heard Marin yet, so they can't lay Marin on you.
No, okay. and they don't get up there.
Do they say things like, up there? New York's done something to our camp?
Yeah.
Only in secret, right? It's that great passive-aggressive Midwestern thing. Right. Oh, if he'd only leave New York.
But he'll be fine.
I've been here 16 years now. I'm not leaving.
When he did leave, he went to Los Angeles for a year.
Even weirder.
Weird. Stop him.
In the next hour of morning's edition, did some U.S. soldiers know Saddam had no weapons of mass destruction before the invasion of Iraq? We'll talk to one soldier who says just that when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Hmm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Ben.
I am the Edison photograph. Those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza. Two more American soldiers have been killed in Iraq. The rocket attack wounded 5 others. The U.S. military says the attack happened this morning in southern Baghdad. More than 1,000 members of the U.S. military have died since American-led forces invaded Iraq in March 2003. Yasir Issam Hamdi, a U.S. citizen captured on the Afghanistan battlefield and held without charges for nearly 3 years, has been freed and returned to Saudi Arabia. Frank Dunham Jr., Hamdi's lawyer, says Hamdi's case led to a Supreme Court decision limiting the president's powers to indefinitely hold enemy combatants. Hamdi will not be charged with any crime under an agreement negotiated by his lawyer and the Justice Department. The agreement requires Hamdi to give up his American citizenship, renounce terrorism, and not sue the U.S. government over his captivity. During visits to two Florida churches, Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry promised, "Never again will a million African Americans be denied their right to exercise their vote in the United States of America." Morning Sedition hosts Mark Maron and Mark Riley spoke with Barbara Arnwine this morning. Arnwine, the executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, a group that monitored Florida's August 2004 primaries.
We saw police intimidation in 3 different counties of the 5 counties that we monitored. We saw police cars parked systematically in front of every Latino precinct with their lights roving. We, of course, filed a complaint with the Justice Department, and within 10 minutes, they withdrew all those police cars. So it just shows you there were no valid reasons for them being there other than to intimidate voters.
3 United States allies in the war in Iraq face growing unrest at home about their handling of the war. A new poll says people in Australia, Italy, and Britain also have reservations about how well their nation's leaders are doing holding terrorists at bay. The Associated Press Ipsos poll shows that the leaders of Britain, Australia, and Italy got low marks. Tony Blair, John Howard, and Silvio Berlusconi are staunch allies of the U.S.-led war in Iraq. Gasoline up nearly 8 cents a gallon over the past 2 weeks, with blame for the spike in prices aimed at record-high crude oil prices. From September 24th through Friday, the combined national average for all grades of gas rose $2.02 a gallon. Self-serve regular, the biggest seller, now costs $1.99 a gallon. Trilby Lundberg, editor of the Lundberg Survey, blames the increase on the rising cost of crude, which hit $53.31 a barrel on Friday, and said the prices are likely to continue to climb in the short term. A slow transfer of arms beginning in Sadr City near District of Iraq. Followers of radical cleric Mutawa el-Sadr trickled into police stations to hand in weapons today under a deal seemed a key step toward ending weeks of fighting with U.S. forces. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
It's the biggest radio news in a generation, and it's happening on Sirius. The king of all media, Howard Stern, has announced he'll be joining us exclusively starting in January 2006. It's his show, his way, completely uncensored. Now, there's never been a clearer choice for the future of satellite radio. Soon, you'll be able to hear Howard anywhere in the country. Tell your friends and tell your family, Howard Stern is coming to Sirius.
This is Earth and Sky. Jeffrey Polavina is a marine ecologist at the Pacific Islands Fisheries Science Center in Hawaii.
He tags sea animals to learn where they go, where they feed, and where they mate. The tags relay the data to scientists via a system of satellites.
Tags have revealed that loggerhead turtles travel back and forth across the Pacific Ocean along a trans-Pacific turtle highway. Polavina told us that turtles seem to congregate midway through their migration at a mid-ocean hotspot just west of the international dateline.
It's just amazing that these loggerhead turtles, and I think many of the other turtles as well that we track, really seem to have a map of the ocean. We'll see them go into eddies, which are underwater cyclones, and they'll ride around the edges of these eddies for months at a time. These are big features. They'll get off exactly where they got on. They'll go through currents that move them north or south or east or west, but then they'll readjust their position.
Since the animals obviously know where important feeding and breeding places are, Polavina says scientists are thinking about using the animals to gather data that's typically collected by floating research instruments. He calls it biologging, relying on fleets of animals instead of ocean-going research vessels.
Our thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kel and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Marin, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, grieving deconstructivists. I am eating a bag of nacho-flavored Derrida's right now in honor of the death of Jacques. Who would appreciate that joke, I think, because is he really dead? Isn't death just a context that needs to be dismantled? Isn't it? Am I talking about matrixes and contexts? And yes. Hi, Mark Riley. What's going on?
I don't want to find out.
Oh, my God.
If death is like a context.
You know, I just read this article, and, you know, we're talking. Why don't they talk about the issues? What's wrong with these guys, Sonny Liston? Bob Marley. What is wrong with this chocolate people? That's me, chocolate guy.
You're a M&M's. Chocolate guy?
M&M's, dude.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I can't do them anymore, man. Ever since that fateful morning.
Oh, when you ate them too early?
When I ate them like at 4 o'clock in the morning and walked around here like a zombie for the rest of the day. I don't do it anymore.
I read an article on chocolate in the New York Times Magazine, along with the article on John Kerry, which I read first. And I was very into that piece because it really fleshed out a lot of stuff. And I've been reading Richard Clark's book, and I'm in the middle of that. It's a beautiful written book, man. Very compelling. Richard Clark is it's cut, it's succinct, it's got good build. And, you know, he's right there in the middle of all this, all the way from the 90s, the early 90s. You know, he saw the progression of the development of this jihadist front, of the Al-Qaeda. And he talks about, you know, Cold War strategy. And he talks about the ideas about, you know, spreading democracy and having democracy being contagious, which was proven to be false. And a lot of these guys went into Iraq with the same type of thinking outside of the free market.
Yeah, the neocon cabal really, I mean, that was their end game. And it wasn't really just a domino effect. It was that as other nations in the region began to see democracy would bloom just because everybody wanted it. And we all know how false that turned out.
Yeah, and then the whole idea, exactly, in Vietnam as well. And there's some, depicting Kerry as a very sort of like, you know, wise and intuitive legislator. And, you know, in talking about how he started to make the connections between the Contras, the drugs, and the BCCI bank, and how he learned early on in the 90s about how terrorism worked and about how these terrorist cells worked, and that he knew that, you know, non-state-sponsored terrorism was going to be an oncoming threat. And he has, you know, made decisions in terms of realizing that a non-state-sponsored terrorist or a group of terrorists, you know, are not going to be able to be fought in the same way as conventional war. And Bush insists that all terrorism is state-sponsored to some degree, and that's justification to go to war with nations. But non-nation-specific terrorism is something that has to be approached differently. And now the Republicans are starting to spin this article, and Kerry was basically saying that through international law enforcement and sharing of information, that they can treat terrorism much like they treat drug smuggling, drug cartels, and that, you know, you do it specific to each incident, and you do investigations specific to cells, and where you see it where it's happening, and you put the kibosh on it.
This is interesting, Mark, because Dick Cheney, the vice president, has been the leading exponent of kind of deriding this, it's a law enforcement issue. I've heard, you know who were the first person who said to me, this is a law enforcement issue, and they ought to pursue it that way, was my older brother.
Yeah.
And this was back when the war first started. They said, look, if you want to deal with, not even when the war first started, it was in the wake of 9/11. Said, if you want to get these people, if you really want to get Osama bin Laden, then you have to put the best expertise of law enforcement in capturing the guy.
Yeah, and Kerry is basically saying, you know, that, you know, you find out, you know, through, you know, banking investigations where the money is and all this stuff, and you seek him out. And he was basically saying he'd like to limit terrorism eventually. Hopefully it will just become a nuisance. It's something that the rest of the world has had to deal with for many years. And it's something that the rest of the world has had to deal with more of since Bush has become president, because terrorism has escalated around the planet. And because of 9/11 and the horrible thing that happened that day, you know, these guys have politicized the death of 3,000 Americans to such a degree that Americans are so paralyzed with fear and so focused on, many of them are so focused on Iraq, which has no connection to terrorism, but is now literally a terrorist-occupied country.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Which we won't be holding any major assaults against, not until after the election.
Yeah, that's right. So Rumsfeld went over there, and now it's on top of that, he basically said we're not leaving anytime soon.
No, and that in terms of troop strength, he's not sure when they're going to be able to actually reduce the number of troops, when they're going to be able to actually send people home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he may have, what he said may have come as no particular surprise. But this idea that they're going to wait this out until after the election, in other words, they started in Samarra and a couple of other places, you know, where there are large insurgencies the insurgents hold the cities.
They did two major attacks on each of the debate nights.
Well, they haven't yet really gone into Fallujah full bore, and that's not going to happen until after the election. Now, the danger here, and maybe we can get into this with our guest because he's a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
The danger is when you keep any military force in limbo for an extended period of time, Some military people feel you compromise their effectiveness to some degree.
I would imagine that you also, the morale tends to dissipate, I would think, a bit.
Yeah.
And they no longer know when they're going to come home or how long they're going to be there or what's the real purpose of their mission.
Yeah, or when they're going to be able to go in and do what their commanders tell them they need to do, which is take these cities back from insurgents. Now, the problem, of course, with all this is that, you know, folks can't stand on high alert forever. You know what I'm saying?
It's exhausting. All that cortisol pumping into your system.
Yeah, and waiting for something to happen, and you don't know exactly when it's going to happen, except now you know it's not going to happen for at least the next 2-3 weeks
mm-hmm.
before, you know, that kind of military action. So now you're on high alert, mm-hmm. but you're also now having to worry about the possibility that somebody's going to attack you while you're waiting to go back in and do this. And the military has been chafing at the bit for a long time.
I just got anxious thinking about what you just said, like just that predicament.
Yeah.
Like worrying about being attacked from that side and then the other side and then, you know.
That's right.
It's exhausting.
It is an exhausting thing, and it's something that our National Guards people and Reserve people don't deserve to have happen to them.
Mm.
Why should they have to go through that kind of tension? Now, I understand that there are political concerns here. No one wants to see an assault on Fallujah that it results in a huge loss of Iraqi life 2 weeks before the election. That's the political calculation that's going into this decision to hold things down. But at the same time, two car bombs over the weekend, while Rumsfeld is in Iraq, killed 11 people.
Right.
Which means that, you know, these kinds of attacks will probably not stop. And if, in terms of the January elections, you've got to start looking now at whether or not these assaults can take place and the retaking of these cities can take place prior to the election if you delay until after the U.S. election.
Well, it's weird because, you know, they were perfectly willing to start assaults. Major assaults on the night of the first debate.
Yes.
I think that was an attempt at wagging the dog. I think it was an attempt to distract from the debate. That didn't work because the American media realized, you know, rarely do they really realize, you know, what is really important to this country at this point in time is assessing, you know, our leader and who the next leader should be.
Yeah.
And I think they started another assault in the second debate, or maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know if they started a second one, but see, now Rumsfeld, interestingly enough,
The vice presidential debate.
Now, Rumsfeld goes over.
Yeah.
And in addition to talking and kind of having like a town hall meeting with U.S. troops, he also meets with Iraqi leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And his message to the Iraqi leaders is, you all are going to have to take more charge of your own situation here. Something that we're not at all certain the Iraqis are actually prepared to do. In other words, he's saying that it's not going to be U.S. soldiers that are leading these assaults forever. Sooner or later, Iraqi security, retaking these cities if that ends up having to be the case, and the ongoing maintenance of security. In an environment, by the way, where people are being kidnapped and beheaded virtually on a daily basis, that's going to fall on the Iraqis sooner or later. He's preparing them for the eventuality that America's not going to be there forever. Now, how long? I don't know. And he certainly didn't give any hope to the troops that they were going to be coming home soon. But he is saying to the Iraqis, you know what? You're going to have to do more of this.
And also in the Dover report, it said that, you know, Saddam had ditched his chemical weapons manufacturing operations years ago. But now there's evidence that some of these terrorist organizations, Arkawis in particular, is, you know, busting its butt trying to figure out a way to get chemical weapons. And this is happening in Iraq post-U.S. invasion. Before, it, you know, non-existent. And I think that our guest, Captain of the Army Chemical Corps, and he's a project coordinator for Legislative Affairs for Operation Truth, David Chastain, can address some of these issues. And also, I'd really like to talk to him about the American, you know, morale and sentiment on the ground about Iraqis and whether or not it is actually possible to get Iraqis, you know, fighting for the Americans while the Americans are still there and they feel like pawns as opposed to fighting for their own country. It's 16 past the hour. It's Air America Radio.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Larry King here to tell you I'm getting more from my vitamin C. I'm getting the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So do what I do and get more from your vitamin C. Take Ester C. E-S-T-E-R-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look for Ester C and now new Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
Planet Check. Planet Check.
It's green on the top floor of this San Francisco hotel. Michael Pace, general manager of Hotel Triton, explains.
We have energy-efficient lighting, purifiers and ionizers in the rooms to keep the air clean, organic sheets and towels. What we're doing in 2004 is we're embracing the concept of the eco-floor and combining that with our music history.
Hotel Triton is working with celebs who are passionate about the planet.
The Woody Harrelson room, it's called Woody's Oasis, which is a beautiful room with bamboo floors and hemp curtains and hemp bedspreads. Another one is with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Hotel Triton shares the love. 10% of the room revenue will be donated to the non-profit environmental organization chosen by that celebrity.
Our hotel website is hoteltriton.com.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Baseball and radio, they were like old friends.
Yogi Berra, remembering how back in the 40s he'd listen to hear baseball greats like Joe DiMaggio and Jackie Robinson on the radio.
This is Bill Stern with a call.
Listen, DiMaggio, did you knock this baseball from my window?
Yeah, what about it?
Can you autograph it for me, please?
Here we are in New York. I flew in to see the World Series. We observed 1 minute silence over Cleveland.
Now, Yogi presents his favorite baseball radio shows.
I picked up the ones that remind me of how baseball and radio teamed up.
Weekdays at noon and 8 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Radio Classics 133.
Are you spending more and more time protecting your home? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Bad stuff is invading our homes at warp speed. Pornographic emails, sleazy magazines, and trashy reality TV shows. And my wife and I are spending a lot of time guarding our children's hearts and minds from it. How? First, we do our best not to do things we don't want our kids doing. Second, we educate our children on what they can and cannot watch, read, and listen to, and why. Third, we constantly teach our children to learn to discern what is right and wrong, good and bad, in everything that reaches their eyes and ears. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time, the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
Mark Maron.
It's Mark Riley there.
Yeehaw!
Morning's edition. I'm going to be at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut this weekend in the cabaret. Come on down. It's a very tacky, exciting place. Most casinos ride that line. You know what I mean? That it's going to be either it's going to be like, wow, this is good tacky, or wow, this is really tacky. But Mohegan Sun is it's a pretty nice place. They have a Ben and Jerry's in the casino.
Really?
So, you know, who are they really appealing to? They're clearly not. The Rat Pack is done. So, like, you know, bring your kids. Have some Chunky Monkey while you lose your life savings. All right, I got the presidential palm file, which Ramon brought earlier and just dropped off. He would tell me whether the
president was what you thought he was.
I swear to God, he was jammed, man. He definitely looked all jammed up on the yayo. Looked like he had a bindle. 6:30 a.m. Wake up, stay on message. Volume is power. Volume is power. 9:05 a.m. Speak at rally, Hobbs, New Mexico. Note, say sometimes that John Kerry makes me want to scowl. Scowl. Hello? Is this on? Anywho. 11 a.m. Work on list of three things I did wrong during my presidency. No rush. 12 noon. Have my lumber company panel the Oval Office in knotty pine, just so Kerry will have to get rid of it. 12:20 p.m. Attend Coors for Senate luncheon, Denver, Colorado. Note, this does not mean Coors for lunch. Hello. Is this on? Okay, nothing. 2 p.m. Practice jumping up from chair. Note, I kicked Kerry's ass on the chair jumping. Kicked it. Hello. Test. 5 p.m. Speaker rally, Red Rocks Amphitheater, Morrison, Colorado. Note, close with recreation of U2's Sunday Bloody Sunday video. Run around stage with giant white flag. Hello. What do we got? Test. Hello, is this on? 10 p.m., bedtime in Colorado. Note, high altitude can make you lightheaded and disoriented. Enjoy it while you can. Test. Is that what was going on?
Well, hail to the chief and night train in the same 3-hour period.
That would be better if he came out to that. But he probably night train. How about a little fire truck? Yow! Here comes John Kerry, ladies and gentlemen. Why does he go out to that? All right.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. Let's get down to it. Let's talk about the issues. Okay?
Okay.
Let's talk about the issues with a guy who understands. He's a captain in the Army Chemical Corps, project coordinator for legislative affairs for Operation Truth. He was in Iraq. He's a veteran. His name is David Chastain. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, in the March to War, you were privy to the intelligence that sent our troops, you know, to evade in Iraq. You know, how strong was the case to go to war from where you're sitting?
Not real good. You know, I'd say, you know, straw poll among the guys who helped plan and execute the thing. It was maybe 50-50 in terms of who thought it was a good idea and who agreed with Colonel Powell and thought it was crazy. Just in terms of, not so much because we like Iraq and think they're great,
right.
But because, you know, we were already in a war. You know, I like to say I'm not an anti-war guy. I'm pro-war we were already in, you know.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, if you got a serial killer with a shotgun and a loudmouth kid with a BB gun, who do you take care of first?
Right. And I would imagine that if you're in a war that's already existing, that you've been brought into, you sort of have to have that disposition. You can't be drooping around going, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, right. And it was, you know, I was a weapons of mass destruction expert for the Army. That was my job. And it's a confusing subject, you know. I went to school for, I did a total of probably about, you know, 18 months of school in the Army to understand my job and do what I did.
What was that job? Explain it to us.
I was a nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons officer.
So you would go into the field and do what? Look for these things?
I did a little bit of that, but that was really kind of an incident to my main job, which was to understand the situation, to help create a plan that would take care of our soldiers and make sure that they were prepared if we had those weapons used against us so that we could continue to fight and do our mission without casualties.
Well, what do you... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I'm curious. Does that mean that going in, most people bought the idea that these weapons, if found, could be used against you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a subtlety and there's a detail here that most people didn't get because, frankly, there aren't many people who have this expertise. It's a small area of expertise even in the Army. The Chemical Corps, you know, the Officer Corps is actually smaller than the Army Special Forces. It's just a very small part of the Army. And then in terms of civilians, people who are outside the military who have an in-depth understanding of this, it's just a short list. And what people didn't understand was that the threat that we saw from Saddam Hussein, most everybody in the intelligence community agreed that there probably were some kind of weapons of mass destruction there. What you didn't hear was that nobody in the intelligence community thought that they were a threat to the United States. that's the part of the story that no one ever told you.
So no, so you're saying that the pretense for going to war, the basic tenet of it, was false, and that's becoming, you know, pretty apparent after this Telfer report that
becoming pretty obvious.
And then also the president and vice president have admitted it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it wasn't just that. I mean, even before the war, George Tenet testified before the Senate. That rhymed.
Hold on. Let me help you out with that.
Okay, thank you. testified before the Senate that Iraq was not a threat to the United States. And I'm like, okay. I remember sitting in the intelligence office, you know, with my friends and saying, well, good, you know, at least, you know, now people know that they're not a threat to us and we can move on to other things. And it was like no one heard him. I was like, is no one listening to this guy?
Yeah.
You know, he's the head of the CIA. It's not
right? It would be nice if they listened.
They knew he was going to leave soon afterwards anyway.
Right.
But now, where was the point at which you started to realize that you weren't going to find what you were looking for?
There was a point, I don't know how much you talked about this on the news, but there was a thing that we kind of, a term that we used called the red line, which we thought would be kind of like the final line of defense around Baghdad, where whatever Saddam had left, he would throw at us to defend his major motivation, which was staying in power. And that was the Euphrates, basically. We thought that once we crossed the Euphrates, that we would for sure get hit with something. And I remember a tense week we spent right there with, you know, everything on with our chemical suits, pretty much everything on except the mask, with the alarms set out, everything turned on, waiting to get hit. And I remember when we crossed through the Euphrates and we were in Baghdad and we weren't getting hit, I realized that it wasn't there.
We got to take a break.
The threat wasn't there.
But we got to take a break, David. Now hold that thought, and we're going to continue with that in a minute. We're talking to David Chastain from the Operation Truth. We'll be back with more of him.
We'll be back with more of David Chastain. Planet Bush, you on the telephones and the liberal agenda, all here on Air America Radio.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
This week on MotherJones.com, American soldiers are speaking out against the Iraq War, and some are refusing to fight. Soldier-led groups like Iraq Veterans Against the War are springing up, and today, 54% of military households oppose the war. Some soldiers are even fleeing to Canada as refugees. Read about it in a special report on MotherJones.com, featuring interviews with soldiers at the forefront of the movement against the war. Log on now to MotherJones.com because you need independent news.
Football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's even the cheese at the gate, the Score TV, the music box, commercial-free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right, you call the shots, Matt's infection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank, the Factor, Traffic, Savage, Adam Pryor, Randy Rose, and MVR, the Star Mighty, and all the stars.
Life is a rock, but the radio.
I'm Deborah Bird.
And I'm Joel Block for Earth and Sky, Monday, October 11th. The biggest planet in our solar system is Jupiter. 11 planet Earths could fit side by side in front of it. Jupiter orbits the Sun about 5 times farther away than Earth does. It takes 12 years to complete a single orbit around the Sun.
Earth flies around the Sun once every year, so it's mostly our motion and orbit that determines where we see Jupiter in the night sky. As seen from all across Earth, the planet was up in the west after sunset until about mid-August this year. Then Earth's faster motion and orbit placed the Sun between us and Jupiter, and we couldn't see Jupiter at all for a couple of months.
Now Jupiter is returning to our sky again. Our vantage point on it has shifted, so we see Jupiter now in the east before dawn. It's low in the sky. So you need a very clear eastern horizon to see Jupiter.
And don't mistake Jupiter for another bright planet up before the sun. The planet that's very bright and relatively high in the east before sunup is Venus.
Jupiter will be near the waning crescent moon tomorrow morning. If you can't see the pair shortly before sunup, try scanning in the east with binoculars. In the coming weeks, Jupiter will be getting higher in the east before dawn. It'll be near Venus by the end of this month.
Special thanks today to Research Corporation, a foundation for the advancement of science. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
What's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here 3 times since this morning. Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh, that's so weird.
Should we do something?
You guys weren't using this for you.
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful way is to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for RAD. And I've got a 4-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive drunk.
Yep, and I got a 3-letter word for you, as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk. My
heart is low. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Optimist volunteers serve as leaders, mentors, and friends to help kids achieve a more positive and productive life in 3,600 communities and 19 countries. This year, Optimists will raise and invest over $80 million in 60,000 community service projects that help 6 million children and teens. Optimists have been bringing out the best in kids for nearly 100 years. For the location of your nearest Optimist Club, call 1-800-500-8130.
Tomorrow, leave home without it. Just once or even twice a week, leave your car parked and get around another way. Try taking mass transit, carpooling, walking, or biking. Not only will you save a lot of money and aggravation, you'll also help to reduce traffic congestion and pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
Past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm not doing a bit here, am I? No. We're talking to David Chasteen, Captain in Army Chemical in the Army Chemical Corps and Project Coordinator for Legislative Affairs for Operation Truth. Now, David, let me just add, you were just talking about being at the Euphrates River, waiting for something to come your way in the form of a weapons of mass destruction, realizing that there wasn't going to be any. That must have been relieving.
Yeah, it was actually fantastically relieving. At the same time, though, it's like, you know, on the one hand, it's like, well, I don't have to worry about, you know, mass casualties. On the other hand, this was a complete waste of time. So, you know,
yeah, that's kind of an interesting cathartic moment to have at the cradle of civilization, at the location of the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
You had an existential moment that was very, prominent. So tell us a little bit about Operation Truth.
Operation Truth is an organization, 501c4, nonprofit, founded by myself and some other Iraq vets who came back from the war and realized that there were some deficiencies in the public discourse, so to speak. You know, in our previous wars, Vietnam, World War II, Korea, you had Billy from down the street, he'd get drafted, he'd go off to war, he'd come back and tell the neighborhood what it was like, and there was much more of a connection between the soldiers and the citizens who vote in the election.
Well, there was a sense the sense that they were doing the right thing by the entire population.
And that too.
Right.
And that too. But I think now there's a real gap in the discourse. Very few reporters are veterans. Very few congressmen are veterans. Very few decision makers are veterans. And you have this very small, very professional army of guys who volunteer. They go away. They don't really come back to their hometowns. And so there's just this big gulf.
So now, when I watched Black Hawk Down, the film, I realized something I hadn't realized before, that a lot of this stuff, a lot of the reason why people go into the armed forces is not about country or duty. It's really a profession. It's a choice that people make, and they are professional soldiers, and they look at market it that way, right?
It is very much a matter of professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very – right. And it's more professional than it's ever been, frankly. There's a lot of school. There's a lot of training involved. And that's how we can – you know, you look at the American casualty figures, and they're high. But compared to the casualty figures on the other side, it's disproportionate. I mean, you know, I was talking to a Marine Corps sniper here who works with me, and, you know, Marine Corps snipers over there are and Army snipers both are pulling down confirmed kills of like 200 per, like in a single firefight, which is insane.
What, 200 people?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's
right.
Insane.
I mean, that's just a matter of training and professionalism and doing your job much better than the kid on the other side with an AK-47.
That's just mind-blowing.
It is.
And how do you guys feel in terms of, like, you have a president here that is trying to sell the country that this is, you know, a matter of national security, that it's and yet this is also a president that put a tax cut in, you know, during the war. That, you know, so, you know, the level, it seems that, you know, veterans are not treated properly when they come home. They weren't supported when they were going out. I mean, can you talk about the schism between the administration and the troops?
Well, sure. Well, first of all, I need to put the plug in for the website here. Optruth.org is the website if you want to find out more about what we're doing. But you're definitely right about the schism between the talk and the action. It's very easy to talk the game. And that's what Operation Truth is all about, because politicians on both sides can flap their gums real well, but there's a big difference between talking about it and making it happen. I think most Republicans would be shocked to learn that this administration currently plans on closing 10 VA hospitals and cutting a little less than $1 billion from the VA budget in fiscal year 2005.
Incredible. David, I'm curious, you mentioned professionalism earlier.
Yes.
And I wonder whether you and some of your colleagues feel that your professionalism was unnecessarily spent in this search for weapons of mass destruction.
You know, it was interesting. I worked on the ground at the airport there next to some guys from the CIA, and it was crazy talking to those guys and hearing them talk about how they had been pulled out of Afghanistan to come prepare for the war in Iraq. And they're like, it boggles the mind that I'm over there looking for Osama bin Laden. They literally pulled me off of that mission and sent me to Iraq. They're like, that's crazy, you know. And they had a term for the Iraq war inside the CIA. I don't know if people have picked up on this yet. They were referring to it as elective surgery.
Oh, wow. Electives. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, which I think sums it up pretty well. It's not that it wasn't something that was nice to do. I mean, Saddam Hussein was obviously a dirtbag. I mean, he had it coming. The question is not whether or not the Iraqi, you know, it's so funny because I hear President Bush say,
right,
would we be better off without Saddam, you know, would we be better off with Saddam Hussein in power? That's not the question. The question is, was it worth 1,100 sons and daughters of Americans to give Iraq an unstable democracy? You know what? First of all, we're not a charity organization. We kill people and we blow things up. If you send American boys into harm's way, there's only one right answer to those parents when they ask why their kid came home in a coffin, and that is he died to defend America, not because some neocon somewhere had some bright idea about what, you know, Middle Eastern politics should look like, and maybe if we toy around with it, things will look better. Maybe not. You know, who knows? It's just that's not what American soldiers are for. They're for defending America, and when America needs to be defended, you know, you shouldn't be playing politics with them.
It's powerful stuff you're talking about here, David. Now let me ask you a quick closing question. You think there's going to be any success in getting Iraqis to, you know, successfully fight alongside American soldiers, or is that something that is really going to happen after Americans leave?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think in the long term, Iraqis are probably, you know, the polling that we're seeing come out of Iraq does say that despite their lack of training, despite their lack of professionalism, if you will, that they're at right now. Most Iraqis think that they can handle their security situation better with us gone.
Yeah.
Just because they think that we're a motivating factor for all these and you know, destabilizing forces that are coming into the country.
Okay, so we got to go, but I just want to—I can't help myself. It seems to me that from what you're talking about, is it safe to say that most veterans would rather have a sort of wise ex-veteran as president than the one we have now?
Nice. We're 501c4. You know, we can't endorse or unendorse anybody. And I'll say this: you know, the American military represents the American public. You've got all political spectrums represented.
Right. Sure.
There.
Okay, well, I tried. All right, David Chastain, thank you. Really informative talk.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
You take David Chastain, captain in the Army Chemical Corps and also project coordinator for legislative affairs for Operation Truth. We're taking your calls now, 866-303-2270, and we've got a few things we've got to tie up on the other side of this thing. A little Sinclair Broadcasting.
Sinclair Broadcasting. You may remember the name, and we'll tell you why.
Okay, we'll talk to you in a minute. Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Ah, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Outbreak, Mortal Fear, Coma. These blockbuster books made Robin Cook the master of the medical thriller. Now, he returns with Seizure, the heart-pounding bestseller ripped from today's headlines. When a researcher develops a method to alter DNA using stem cells, one man receives treatment with terrifying results. Critics call Seizure infectious and chilling. Get your pulse racing. Read Seizure by Robin Cook, now in Berkeley paperback.
Larry King here to tell you I'm getting more from my vitamin C. I'm getting the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So do what I do and get more from your vitamin C. Take Ester C. E-S-T-E-R-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look for Ester C and now new Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 130 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo, all for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required monthly $9.99 subscription and hardware sold separately. Hardware price may vary by retailer. Activation fee applies.
Crimes Against Nature, a new book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sets the record straight on George W. Bush, corporate greed, and the plunder of America. Crimes Against Nature makes the case that the administration has taken corporate cronyism to unprecedented heights, threatening our health, our national security, and our democracy. Al Franken calls Crimes Against Nature a passionate and devastatingly written attack on the Bush administration. Crimes Against Nature, the national bestseller by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a HarperCollins book. Now available at bookstores and online at airamericaradio.com.
One. It's the biggest radio news in a generation, and it's happening on Sirius. The king of all media, Howard Stern, has announced he'll be joining us exclusively starting in January 2006. It's his show, his way, completely uncensored. Now, there's never been a clearer choice for the future of satellite radio. Soon, you'll be able to hear Howard anywhere in the country. Tell your friends and tell your family, Howard Stern is coming to Sirius.
How is parenting like Major League Baseball? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Pro Baseball starts its playoffs tomorrow. It was a challenging road for all of the teams who made it. You see, Major Leaguers play more than 160 games a year. Parenting has a long season, too. Day in and day out, you have to come ready to work. If you get discouraged and feel like you're on a losing streak with your kids, adjust your strategy. We can help. For a free 9-inning parenting coaching plan, visit FamilyMinute.net. Go for the win. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this is Tom in Missouri. The Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Terry Dembelski. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for it. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
This is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go.
Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Studies show that over time, anabolic steroids can indeed take a heavy toll on a person's health. Abuse of oral or injectable steroids is associated with increased risk for severe liver problems, including hepatic cancer. People who share needles or use non-sterile injection techniques can also put themselves at risk for contracting dangerous infections. For more information about the harmful effects of anabolic steroids, please go to drugabuse.gov.
Hey, 46 past the hour.
Fire truck!
I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hi!
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We're coming in for a landing here. So, look, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that voters know what's happening in his alternative universe. His alternative universe. Now, isn't that a show on MTV? His alternate universe. Luckily, we have someone in that world. And once again, joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush is our correspondent, Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Mr. Smalls.
Good morning, Mark, and God bless you, both of you. God bless you.
Good morning.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So, the second debate, what were your thoughts on that? Did you watch it?
I certainly did, and I think the president ushered us into a new era of statesmanship Friday night.
Ugh.
I feel fortunate just to be alive,
God.
Just to have seen it. I hope someone's making a commemorative plate, or three or four commemorative plates, because that's how much I want to remember moment Friday.
Look, he was all jacked up. He was hopped up on something, and all he did was attack Kerry instead of defending his record. It was horrendous.
Mark, he's the president. His actions are correct by definition.
Oh, my God.
That's just common sense, Mark. You attack something that needs attacking, and you don't have to defend something that so obviously doesn't need to be defended.
But that's crazy. He just looked angry and defensive. He's a president. Why didn't he act like a president?
Mark, Democrats don't understand passion.
Oh, come on.
Passion. This wasn't little Howard Dean screeching and hollering and all that. This was God's anger channeled through his anger vessel. Inside, Bush is as cool as a cube. You know, while he was rebuking Kerry, inside, he was thinking of new ways to keep us safe.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
You and me.
Hey, you're out of your mind. What about the report? We're not safer.
Safer.
We weren't safer. All right. What about the report on the WMDs? I mean, come on. That the Dulce report, they were never there. It was over. The sanctions were working.
Mark,
1,000 pages saying there weren't any.
Mark, that report just proves how necessary it was for us to go in there. It says Saddam had huge stockpiles of WMDs. Most of them were pointed directly at Dallas, and the other half were gift wrapped for Osama. It's plain as
that. That's not what it said.
I can't do your reading for you, Mark, but if the pundits want to overthink this thing, I can't do anything but pray for them. But thanks, Mark. I don't think I want to ride your spin machine this morning.
All right. Okay. Yeah. You just stay in whatever world, the no spin world that you're in. Like, that's
it's
true.
Nice here, I promise.
No, it's crazy.
It's so nice.
You're crazy. All right. But let's talk about the lady who asked Bush to name three things he'd done wrong during his presidency. He totally ducked that one. No contrition. Where's the humility in that? Where's the Christianity in that, my friend?
Mark. He didn't list three things wrong because he hasn't done three things wrong.
God, unbelievable.
You can't expect him to make things up. It's not his job to spontaneously come up with words and ideas. Plus, he didn't want to hurt the feelings of those bad appointments. Didn't want to hurt their feelings. There's a word for a thing like that, Mark Maron. That word is compassion. Also has passion in it.
No.
Compassion.
Avoidance. How about that? Avoidance. Denial. What about Bush attacking the cheaper prescription drugs from Canada? What did he say?
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure it cures you and doesn't kill you.
Isn't that a great line?
No, it's not.
Isn't that a great line? You know, Mark, liberal heathens in Canada would gladly kill Americans. And prescription drugs are the way that they do it. You can't trust any country that has affordable health care. I mean, honestly, those people aren't well. They think they are.
What, do you even hear what you're saying? Do you even know what you're saying? What about
yes,
the?
No, I do. I do.
What about the?
You're the one that's.
No,
please, I want you to go on.
All right, what? Wow, the condescension, dripping. What about the next debate? Domestic policy, Bush is screwed on that one, right?
Well, you know, Kerry will throw his little numbers around, and some people will complain about jobs, but now that every American's got a good job with health care,
what are you crazy?
That'll fall off deaf ears. I've turned the corner, Mark. Turn it with me. Turn it with me.
But
take the wheel.
There's
go
more
to the rack.
Point. Oh,
go
my
to
God.
The rack. Turn the corner, buddy.
You're just a sad little man, aren't you? You're just so deluded, so pathetic, really sad.
Yes. I look in the mirror, and there's a sad puppy with no friends. Put it me down. Put down the sad puppy. I
knew
want to go back.
I knew it. I knew it.
Bad.
Oh, isn't it sad? See how it really feels when you reach down inside yourself and you find, you know, who you really are?
4 more years.
Looks
good. Looks good, buddy.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Debate, my friend.
God bless you.
Have a nice trip. Ready to get
God
work.
God bless you.
No, it's God
my,
bless you.
It's my God that matters, so God bless you.
All right. You take care of yourself.
Bye-bye now.
We'll talk to you later. Lawton Smalls, of course, from Bush World. Chuck D.
We got somebody just walked in the studio. We're supposed to build this up.
You're not just
supposed to say Chuck D.
Chuck D. Well, he's on the next show, but he's like 25
years old. We had Night Train for.
I couldn't wait to get back in the locker room.
There you go.
In the locker room with Mark and Marvin. No presto.
Yeah. And none of us are using locker rooms, so please don't.
I saw you in some documentary on the airplane on hip hop.
I hear you guys on the radio all the time.
You do?
Oh, this is going to be fun. You heard we were talking about Sonny Liston earlier today.
No, I missed that part.
Yeah.
What do you say about Sonny Liston?
Well, listen, I always thought Sonny Liston was a very tragic, complex figure.
Okay.
He had a very deep relationship with music, first of all, which most people don't know. And we were talking
about Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson
would
sit down and talk to you for hours about music.
Yeah.
I don't know. How did we get off on that topic about Sonny Liston?
Because we were talking about Night Train.
Oh, we're talking about Night Train,
the
song.
James Brown Night Train.
Okay.
And now, who was the
one
that was the earlier that did Night Train before James? I can't remember. If it was Bill Doggett?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was Bill Doggett.
Right up at King.
Yeah,
and he used to come out to it. Sonny Liston used to come out to Night Train. I read a book.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So is he the first boxer that came out to music?
I don't know about that.
I don't know if he was the first, but that was something. He trained all the time listening to rhythm and blues.
Wow.
What's his new show on VH1, though, Chuck? That saw some plug for it on the airplane.
Hip Hop Honors. You know, VH1's trying to do some more things with that outlet since Viacom has about 500 stations.
Yeah. Hey, did my man did do something for my man Herc? You know, I know Herc from way back.
You know, and I was sitting right next to Cool Herc during the Hip Hop Honors where they have the performance tomorrow night. You know, they taped it about, you know, a year ago. And, no, let me
you're rough, man.
But no, I was sitting next to Herc, and I'm just looking, and I'm sitting next to KRS-One, right, on my right. Herc is to my left, and me and Chris are whispering each other here, like, look at Herc's face. Look at Herc's face. He does not like what's going on here. He does not like this person. He does not like, you know, and it's in. And the whole thing, the holy trinity of hip hop, which is a Kool Herc, Afrika Bambaataa, and Grandmaster Flash.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, you have to be able to pull them inside of business. Today I'm reading the New York Times and Universal is offering Jay-Z, you know, the head position of Def Jam and, you know.
Really?
And they're throwing around so Barry Bonds figures.
Gazillions of dollars.
And if you're Kool Herc, you gotta be looking at this and saying,
wait a minute.
Don't I fit in somewhere?
Yeah.
I mean, Kool Herc is I remember, and it was funny because Kool Herc and I got into this discussion a long time ago.
Yeah.
He used to play at a place called the Hevelo Social Club.
Ooh.
Yeah. See, I didn't think I knew about all of that. I used to live near the Hevelo
Social Club. Riley goes back in the day.
Back before Cadillac, A-Tracks, and similar.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, the Hevelo Social Club was this place. It had been abandoned for years.
Uh-huh.
And some guys, some entrepreneurs.
It was an old jazz spot, right?
It was an old jazz. It was a Polish social club even before that.
Okay.
Much different music.
Right.
Before jazz.
But they decided when they first started moving hip-hop indoors, because remember, it was an outdoor phenomenon for the longest. It was in playgrounds.
Uh-huh.
That's where people, you know, the turntables.
Right.
Well, when they moved it indoors, the Hevelo Social Club was one of the first places because it was a big space. It cost next to nothing. It was under the Jerome Avenue L in the Bronx. And it was one of those spots where people said, well, hey, man, this is where you could go to hear this music, which, by the way, and a lot of people won't say this, but there were a lot of very suave, sophisticated black people that dogged hip-hop out for a long, long time. Chuck, you know this.
Of course. I mean, you couldn't get in. And you couldn't get in a club like places like Leviticus and places like that.
Yeah, just Beans and Othello and Alexander the Great.
If you was a guy, you had to be 30. If you was a girl, you know, 16. But
let's take one call.
Yeah.
We told him to call. Let's see if we can have one. Maybe we can all address the question. I think we can. Rick in Minnesota, what's up?
Hey, Rick.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Going on?
I'm going to give you my main question. Just toss another side one if you're willing to answer it. My main question is... I'd like your number one reasons why you think that so many Americans still, I'm for Kerry, obviously, but they still hue for Bush, even in the debates.
Okay, let's try and address that, because we only got about a minute left. And I think the one reason is fear. Fear and stupidity. And fear, stupidity, and delusion is the reason why people stand behind Bush. Some people are narrow-minded because of particular extreme religious beliefs. Others are just frightened, and they see stubborn steady. They see his stubbornness as being tough love and that he's a good leader. What do you think?
I'm sorry I sucked up your time.
I don't mind it at all. What do you think, Riley?
I think it's proof positive you can sell people anything.
There you go. Sucker born every minute. How's that for an answer?
Well, hey, P.T. Barnum is...
Exactly. Absolutely.
Know.
He was definitely a genius of politics. Chuck, you got Unfiltered coming up.
All I do is switch seats with Riley.
There you go.
Wait, I know what that sound is. It's a liberal agenda, which I have right here. Here are your marching orders for today. Write them down. 1, observe Columbus Day by losing big time at the nearest Indian casino.
Mm-hmm.
2, before making any plans for the day, first apply the global test. Nothing. Hello. Hello. 3, suggest that Domino's court the vegan market with a new meat haters pizza. Okay. 4, question the outcome of the Afghan elections. Claim that they deliberately disenfranchised African American voters.
See, there you go again.
5, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. They should have asked Bush 3 things he's done right during his presidency, man. That would harsh his mellow, dude. All right. Is this on?
Yeah, it's on. It's on. Now, stay tuned.
Yeah.
Because Chuck D, Rachel Maddow, and Liz Winstead will be up next.
I go to another locker room.
There you go.
You're not allowed in that one, are you?
I don't know. Maybe.
What do we got tomorrow, man?
Coming up on tomorrow's morning edition, we get a live report from Iran, the place that really is working on weapons of mass destruction. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good show. Chuck, have a good day, Maron.
See you later, man.
All right.